cares. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Election Eve is punctuated by political rallies and get-out-the-vote rallies as the candidates and party leaders campaign like there's no tomorrow. Because there is only tomorrow.
Determined to keep Republicans in control of Congress for the last 2 years of his term in office, President Bush gave the party's grassroots activists their marching orders for Election Day.
You're going to pick up the phone, you're going to make the phone calls, you're going to turn out your friends and neighbors, and we're going to win.
White House strategists are encouraged by a new poll showing new strength among Republican candidates, and Mr. Bush exudes optimism, telling the rally here the GOP will have a great victory on November 7th. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Pensacola.
This is Steve Futterman in St. Louis. Many Democrats are hoping this woman can help them take control of the U.S. Senate.
Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Hi.
Democrat Claire McCaskill's in a tight race with the incumbent Republican Jim Talent. And with the Senate possibly up for grabs, a McCaskill win could mean control for the Democrats. The day before the election, McCaskill was on the stump.
The question is this year, who's more motivated? People who want to hold on to the way it is now or people who want change? I'm betting on change.
The public opinion polls indicate this race is too close to call. Steve Futterman, CBS News, St. Louis.
A hospital along the Skagit River in the Seattle area has begun evacuating patients. Drenching, continuous downpours have caused flooding the likes not seen in a long time there.
I just left a neighborhood in the small town of Granite Falls. Rescuers are using an inflatable hovercraft to navigate the streets, which are underwater. They're going door to door checking for people who need rescue.
KIRO's Tim Hake tells us there are flood warnings of record severity along six western rivers, and the forecast is for rain and showers for the next week, with one little break on Thursday. The wildfire fighters in Rialto, California, have so far kept that blaze, despite 30-mile-an-hour Santa Ana winds out of Sierra Lakes Golf Course and the 3,600 valuable homes that surround it.
It is staying to the east side of Sierra. It is burning pretty strongly in a predominantly commercial area.
Horse racing fans won't soon forget this moment.
Barbaro,
favored to win the Kentucky Derby, had shattered his leg, and had he been any other horse, he'd have been put down at the track. Today, the cast was removed. His right hind leg has healed. Now, he does have problems with laminitis in his left hind hoof, but it is stable. Barbaro won't ever race, but he may yet sire champions. On Wall Street, the Dow soared more than 119 points today to close at 12,105. The Nasdaq gained 35 points, and oil prices closed at $60.02 a barrel, up 88 cents. This is CBS News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not JenJen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
The mayor of Murphy, Texas, won't be inviting NBC's Dateline crew back anytime soon.
Mayor Brett Baldwin says the TV show and the group Perverted Justice disrupted and endangered a quiet Murphy neighborhood with a four-day child sex sting.
You know, they're taking these people, arresting them in the front yards, and we had a high-speed chase through town.
Mayor Baldwin says somebody found a bag of cocaine down the street from the house. The mayor says the sting put the neighborhood at risk. Perverted Justice's website says 21 people who had solicited child sex over the Internet were arrested at that house. B.J. Austin, CBS News, Dallas.
Hot pants and mini skirts will soon, finally, be legal in South Korea. There's been an indecency law that quite literally had police armed with rulers, stopping women to measure. They also carried scissors to cut the hair on the spot of men whose locks were too long. Now, the law is being tossed out. Hasn't been enforced in years. They figured it was about time. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now, should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open for legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Oh, it's no laughing matter. Just one day until the really critical, crucial midterm elections. And I have to say I'm a little nervous. I don't usually do nervous. But I've been watching all the reports, checking in on these various battleground races around the country. And I am cautiously optimistic about the outcome if the election process runs its course in an honest and fair way. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. It's time for today's Peter B. Collins Show. 3 hours of live, unrehearsed, unscripted progressive talk radio. And you're invited to join this conversation whenever you like. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. On the program today, Norman Solomon, author, media critic. He's going to join us to talk about the unindicted co-conspirator. Yeah, Saddam got the guilty verdict in Baghdad yesterday, but they forgot all about Rumsfeld. Also on today's program, the Green Party candidate for California governor, Peter Cameo, will join us. He's a powerful and persuasive guy. Also on the program, Susie Turnbull, vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. We'll get her prognostications on tomorrow's election and some of the key races there. So that's all ahead here on the PBC show. And we expect in our free speech zone to bring you a report on people who plan to video the vote tomorrow. So you got your video camera loaded and you want to know exactly how to proceed. We'll get you some point-by-point instructions coming up a little bit later today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, every week we kick off our Monday broadcast with a specialist from Media Matters for America. They watch the media critically, and then when you go to their website, mediamatters.org, well, you get a sense of how the media is doing. Paul Waldman is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. In his spare time, he wrote the book, Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. And Paul, can you see evidence that your book was used as a guide in any campaigns by Democrats this year?
Who knows, Peter? Maybe, people who did things that I recommended were just coming to those same brilliant conclusions all on their own. except for one radio host who you may know, Tony Trupiano, who's running for Congress in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, we know Troop.
No other Democratic candidate has actually told me personally that he's used my book. So,
all right. Well,
we'll have to assume that anyone who wins did it all on their own, and anyone who loses, it was because they didn't listen to me.
Right. That's a very good position to cultivate. We spoke to Tony Trupiano last week, and he's guardedly optimistic. He's within closing distance of that seat in, I think it's Michigan 11.
Yeah, well, we'll see. If there's a Democratic wave, a lot of people could be having celebrations that were in close races. So.
Yeah. First up, I want to thank Media Matters, your colleague Jameson Foser, and the team there, because you took an item that we mentioned on this show about 10 days ago and put it up at Media Matters. FAIR also did it. And today's New York Times includes an article about what we disclosed, that there is a list that ABC Radio Network circulated of advertisers who do not wish to be heard on Air America or other progressive talk programs. So thanks to Media Matters for helping to get the word out.
Absolutely, and it got a lot of attention.
Yeah, it did. Now, Paul, tell us about the current state of polling and the way the media has been spinning the polls, particularly here in the closing days of this campaign.
Well, if anyone has tuned into cable news today, what you've seen is a positive frenzy of anchors and reporters talking about how the race is now tightening and new polling data shows that the Republicans are closing in and they must be doing something right and it's going to be closer than anybody thought. This is all based on a couple of polls that have come out in the last couple of days. One from the Pew Research Center that showed the gap between Democrats and Republicans in what's called the generic ballot, which is when they ask people, are you going to vote for a Democrat or are you going to vote for a Republican?
Mm-hmm.
The Pew had Democrats up by only 4 points. And then there were a couple of other polls that were close, too. The Washington Post, ABC News, had Democrats up by 6, and the USA Today Gallup poll had Democrats up by 7. And there was a frenzy over this on cable news. But the truth is that there are those polls, and they do show a little bit of a tightening of the race, which is certainly possible. There's also another series of polls that have come out in the last few days. Newsweek has Democrats up by 16%. CNN has Democrats up by 20%. Time has Democrats up by 15%. The CBS New York Times has Democrats up by 18%. But the interesting thing was that the media seems so interested. You know, they've got all these polls. Most of them show Democrats with a double-digit lead. A few of them show Democrats with a single-digit lead. There was so much interest and fascination in the in these few polls that showed the race tightening that even on networks where the network's own poll showed something different, they were focusing on the poll that showed a much closer race. You had CNN ignoring the CNN poll in order to focus on the Pew poll. Same thing on MSNBC. They have a partnership with Newsweek. They didn't talk about the Newsweek poll. They wanted to talk about that Pew poll that had it within 4 points. Now, you know, I don't know if this is conservative bias. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It could be that they're just interested in some kind of something new that makes the race seem tighter and more exciting. But the fact is that was topic number one on cable news all day about how the race had tightened, and these polls showed it, and the Republicans must be maybe closing in for another brilliant last-minute win.
Well, let's listen to a clip. This is from MSNBC, and it's Mrs. Alan Greenspan, also known as Andrea Mitchell, anchoring this segment.
Do you think that the stem cell issue does actually carry a lot of weight in individual states, or is this really a national referendum on Iraq and on the Bush presidency?
I think it's more the latter. Stem cell, minimum wage, gay marriage may make a teeny difference on the margins. And if the races are as close as your polls suggest, the margins matter. But I think in most places it's going to be broader economic and Iraq issues.
Let's talk a bit about these new polls showing Republicans now gaining ground. Are conservative voters coming home, as RNC Chairman Ken Millman has said? And if so, why is this happening? Let's first of all look at Rhode Island Senate. You've got a pair, first the Pew poll and the Washington Post ABC poll and the NBC Gallup poll, all indicating that the GOP gaining ground. Before we look at those races, Holly, what do you think? Is there a narrowing here? Is this a natural tendency because of the Republican effort and possibly some of those robocalling?
I think everybody is sort of expected to see tightening in the last few days of the campaign. And this, you know, what's interesting is, you know, this might be a sign that the GOP turnout machine is working. One thing that I would note is that the Pew poll is very important. Karl Rove.
Now, can I stop there? That's Holly Bailey from Newsweek, and she's saying that the Rove turnout machine is working. Now, how could that be the case prior to Election Day? The turnout machine only works on Election Day itself.
Well, they start some of their efforts in the last couple of days, starting to call people, put everything in place. But, you know, the media are just in awe of Karl Rove and have been for a long time. And they look on Republicans as these sort of, campaign wizards who can do nothing wrong. And, you know, I think that one of the things that may happen after this election is over is that people will kind of step back and reevaluate Karl Rove. You know, there's no question that he's a very smart guy and has had a lot of successes. But he's also had a lot of major screw-ups. And, you know, he's done some things in campaigns that, that turned out to be just incredibly stupid. And perhaps if the Republicans lose this time, and despite the fact that he's been out there saying, no, you know, everything's going to be great, I've got secret polls that nobody knows about that that show that we're going to win.
Yeah, he's got the Ted Haggard polls.
Yeah. maybe people will take another step back. And, you know, there's something else that, that Andrea Mitchell mentioned there just in passing that I hope you're going to talk about at some point today, Peter, which is this robocall issue.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, all across the country, the people have been getting calls that claim to be from a local Democratic candidate running for Congress. They will call sometimes late at night, and if you hang up on the automated call, the recorded call, it calls back, and it calls back again and again and again and again until you start to think that if this Democratic candidate calls me one more time, I'm going to scream, and I'm certainly not going to vote for him. If you happen to listen to all the way through the long call after hearing all kinds of bad things about the Democrat, you learn that, in fact, it's paid for by the Republican Party. This is a pretty slimy technique, and it's being used in races all over the country.
I got a robocall from Rudy Giuliani yesterday, and I didn't save it.
Well, you know, there are different kinds of robocalls. It's one thing to have someone like that come and say, you know, vote for this candidate, he's a great guy. But it seems like these ones that the Republicans are doing are intentionally, they fool you into thinking they're from a Democrat, and they're going to keep calling you back again and again and again at late hours of the evening until you become so annoyed with that Democrat's campaign that you'd never consider voting for him. But in fact, they're paid for by the Republican Party.
And if you've received such a robocall, give us a call. Not a robotic call, but a live human call, and tell us about it. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. More in a moment as we continue with Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I'm Vince Kohler, chair of the Monterey County Democrats. I'm calling on all local Democrats. We need you at headquarters Sunday, Monday, and Election Day. You can help us elect Democrat Ana Caballero to the Assembly and beat back a hateful smear campaign by Republican Ignacio Velasquez. Velasquez's campaign is described by the Salinas Californian as baloney. The Californian calls Velasquez an embarrassment to the Republican Party, but he spent $500,000 smearing Democrat Ana Caballero. We have volunteer positions waiting for you at headquarters to make sure that Ana Caballero and her fellow Democrats win and that Republicans learn it's the end of the road for the politics of deception and fear. Join Democrats in standing up for the values we believe in. To volunteer, come to headquarters at 12 East Gavilan, Salinas, or call 753-2381. That's 753-2381. And one more thing. Vote and bring a friend to the polls. Remember, to volunteer, call 753-2381. Thank you. Paid for by the Monterey County Democratic Central Committee.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
One day to Election Day, and do I need to remind you to get out and vote? I didn't think so. I will remind you that tomorrow, as you're watching the returns on TV, keep a radio handy, because most of the same stations that carry the Peter B. Collins Show will feature our Election Night Election Integrity Special. My pal Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com will co-anchor from Los Angeles. We have a network of correspondents and activists all over the country who will be checking in with us. So we're going to be watching the integrity of the election. We'll also, of course, report the results as they come in. But our focus will be on glitches and demands for photo identification, long lines in Columbus, Ohio. You get the idea. We continue now with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America on the web at mediamatters.org. And Dave joins us from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, guys, I have an inside scoop for you that I hope I can get across clearly. The polling companies, they go about collecting data, and they do it very honestly. They get people to tell who they're going to vote for and whatnot. And they put that data into a computer, a modern computer with a modem. And here comes our Patriot Act. We have high-tech goons that venture themselves into these computers. They want to make them more palatable to the cons that pay their salaries. I hope I'm making this clear, because otherwise we're in the position, the press is in the position, of trying to explain that we have a democracy that is made up of people so stupid that at least half of them want to vote for an administration that's never done a damn thing for them, that is there only to benefit the billionaires, an administration that gets us into illegal wars, that's bankrupting the country. What people are going to vote for them?
So your premise is that the polls are
tampered with by high-tech Fed goons, and they got thousands and thousands of them under this Patriot Act, and usually they recruit them because they're about to go to prison for invading computers, and they give them the option, come work with us.
All right, Paul, you got a comment?
I don't really know about polls being hacked. But, you know, polls go up, polls go down, and I think it's probably always a mistake to pay too much attention to them. But, you know, my rule is always don't be too convinced by what one poll says. But once two, three, four of them start to pile up, whether they're hacked or not, then you can really begin to get a sense of where things are going. And, you know, nobody should be counting any chickens at this point, but it looks like things are looking pretty good for the Democrats.
Well, and Dave, I share your suspicion. I think that there are a lot of ways that polls can be affected or manipulated. A lot of it has to do with the way the question is asked, who is actually asking the question, and whether the person, the respondent, is knowledgeable and paying attention and all of those things. And I do agree to some extent that polls are used to manipulate public opinion. They're supposed to simply be a reflection of it, but there's no doubt that they're often used to try to move public opinion in a predetermined direction.
I got to learn how to make this point better, Peter, because the same goon techs that are in there rigging the polls will the next day be in there rigging the voting machines. So.
Well, I think you're articulate enough. I'm still just looking for any kind of proof that polls themselves have been manipulated in a serious way. I as I said, I understand the way they can be shaped and shaved and massaged and spun, but I really haven't seen an indication that a major poll was tainted in the manner that you describe.
Well, you do know a thing or two about this administration, and I listen to you, and you do know they've got certain minor shortcuts in their character, and that if there's a way to cheat, they tend to do it.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Thank you, Dave. Now, let's move on to David Wessel of the Wall Street Journal, Paul Waldman, because he set up a very interesting set of false choices should the Democrats take control of the House.
Yeah, well, you know, Peter, sometimes things we talk about may on first blush seem like they're trivial, you know. So this is a case where a Wall Street Journal reporter went on NPR and said that Democrats have a choice, that they can either conduct oversight and investigate the administration, or they can get something done, actually govern. And, you know, people on first blush may say, well, you know, big deal, so it's just one reporter going on NPR saying this. What does it really matter? Well, things like this really indicate a certain kind of perspective, a certain kind of outlook, and give us hints as to what might come in the coverage. And this is something we've heard from a lot of places, actually, that what the Democrats don't want to do is, you know, just bury the White House in investigations, because that wouldn't really be something that would be good for the country. We don't want to just go down that road where they're just going to be holding hearings and issuing subpoenas, when in fact, that's part of their job. That's what Congress does. Governing, conducting oversight and investigating the actions of the administration is one of the things that is governing when it comes to Congress.
Well, and just because the...
The second part of that is the polls have shown that actually people want investigations. When you ask them this question, people say, yes, Congress should start doing some investigations of the Republican Congress, or the Republican administration, because we certainly haven't had any of that in the last 6 years.
Well, and what's unstated by people like Wessel is that they are reminding people of the last accountability forum that was imposed, which was the Clinton impeachment, which was trivial, unnecessary, a whole distraction to the business of our government, and highly partisan. And if that is the standard for investigations, then you can imagine the way people respond and say, well, we don't want investigations like that. But hey, I want to know the truth about 9/11. I want to know the truth about why we got into the war in Iraq. There are a lot of things that this administration has been less than forthcoming on that the American people deserve to know. And armed with that information, we could decide whether we want to tweak the policy or, you know, lock up some of the people who went, you know, they bent the law or broke it.
Absolutely. You know, there's no question that the Republican Congress, when Bill Clinton was in office, was crazy for investigations. And there's also no question that they have completely abdicated their oversight responsibilities when it came to the Bush administration. I saw somewhere a figure, and I may have this not exactly correct, but I'm certain I'm in the neighborhood, where they conducted something like 140 hours of sworn testimony and hearings about whether Bill Clinton had inappropriately used the White House Christmas list to identify potential donors. And the number of hours of testimony they took in the Abu Ghraib scandal, 8. So the question is not, are you investigating? The question is, what are you investigating? Are you investigating the things that need to be investigated? And are you holding the administration to account? You know, that's something that has been woefully lacking over the last 6 years of this administration.
Yeah.
The Congress has not bothered to investigate anything.
Yeah. Paul Waldman, just about 30 seconds remaining. What's your take so far on the media's coverage of the Ted Haggard scandal?
Well, you know, there's a lot of sort of prurient interest in the sex angle, as there always is in things like this. But, you know, it was a little slow getting started because I think a lot of people in the media didn't understand what a significant figure Ted Haggard is. But, you know, Washington insiders hadn't really heard of him, but he's one of the most important evangelical leaders in America, and this is legitimately a big story.
Yeah. Well, and it's confusing because he admitted that he bought meth from this guy but says he never had sex with him, and then he resigned due to sexual immorality, according to his church. So obviously there's more to come on that story. Thank you very much, Paul.
It's been my pleasure.
That's Paul Waldman, MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, Norman Solomon joins us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Colts in session. The Colts in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
That would be judge number 5 in the Saddam Hussein trial.
Stop beating that bird. Here come the judge. Don't nobody bird. Here come the judge. Judge Shorty is designed to stay. And he don't take no stuff from nobody. No kind of way.
Yesterday in Baghdad, in a Rovian coincidence, the court ruled that Saddam Hussein and others were guilty of genocide. going back to the 1980s. And Saddam Hussein has been sentenced to death by hanging. There apparently is an appeals mechanism in the court system that we created in Iraq. And so he's got time to move that up through the system, and likely it will be sustained. And then we have the interesting specter of an execution, a state-sponsored killing of Saddam Hussein, who says he wants a firing squad, but the law that I believe Paul Bremer helped write requires hanging. So that's going to be a very interesting discussion down the road of exactly how Saddam Hussein is dispatched. Joining us to talk about this is Norman Solomon. He's an author, a media critic, and co-founder of the Institute of Public Accuracy. And he's the author most recently of the paperback edition, War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. Hello, Norman.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
First of all, to the timing. The court in Baghdad, now on its fifth judge. Do you think Karl Rove had anything to do with the timing of this announced verdict?
Hey, I don't think he had anything to do with it. And I have this bridge near where I live called the Golden Gate. Would you like to buy it? Well, you know, it's one of the fantasies. It's one thing that the alumnus of Fox News, Tony Snow, would stand in the White House and say, oh, it had nothing to do with the election. It happened to be the date that would put the story on the front page Monday morning before the Tuesday polls open. But it's another for the news media to just swallow it and at face value report that sort of a claim without any contrary information. I mean, the fact is that every aspect of the judicial and economic and political system inside the Iraqi government's mechanisms is closely monitored and largely determined in broad outlines by the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea is just, you know, it's the willing suspension of disbelief on the part of journalists is unbelievable.
Yes, yes, it certainly is. Now, interesting, this is the headline from today's New York Times. Hussein's trial was flawed, but reasonably fair, and verdict justified, legal experts say. And then they quote a legal expert, Jonathan Drimmer, who teaches war crimes law at Georgetown's University Law Center. Did this meet the standards of international justice, asked the professor? The answer is no. But to look at the ultimate verdict, it certainly is consistent with the evidence presented. Now, that doesn't sound like a circumspect analysis of a trial that comes to a conclusion that it was fair. It sounds like they're stretching the language there to pretend that this was a fair trial.
Well, it's through the looking glass, the Black Queen, I think it was, first the verdict, then maybe the evidence later on. And, of course, we have, I think, no real doubt that Saddam Hussein was guilty of all sorts of crimes, horrendous ones, against human rights inside Iraq. But was it a trial with due process, and was it a trial where evidence could be gathered and presented, including, for instance, something that I just saw on YouTube, which is the actual footage of Donald Rumsfeld representing the Reagan administration pumping the hand of Saddam Hussein on December 20th, 1983, representing the U.S. government. That would have been some interesting evidence.
Well, I'm sure if he'd had an unlimited defense, that Donald Rumsfeld would have been one of the witnesses called.
Do you think they would have had subpoena power to fly the guy in?
Well, just on one of his surprise visits to Baghdad, they, you know, could have timed that.
Now that would have been a surprise appearance to see him testifying under cross-examination.
Yeah. Norman Solomon wrote a piece that's posted at Common Dreams News Center today on the web, commondreams.org, and you identify Donald Rumsfeld as Saddam's unindicted co-conspirator.
Yeah, and when you make the rules and you can run the judicial systems, for that matter, I'm thinking of the tell it to the judge and so forth, but whether it's in Iraq or the United States, when the rules are made by certain people, they usually write the rules so that they don't get called to account. But the fact is that more than a year before the crimes that Saddam Hussein has been now sentenced to death for committing, it was Donald Rumsfeld who not only made nice with Saddam, meeting with him in Baghdad, but also then came across with the Reagan administration for all kinds of benefits and goodies, not only before and but also after crimes were committed by Saddam Hussein's regime.
Sure. And the complicity went all the way through the 1980s, and it was Poppy Bush, who was the sitting vice president, who was given the account of handling Saddam and Iraq, and he personally authorized the conversion of American agricultural credits worth about $3 billion. They were convertible at that point so that Saddam could use them to go buy weapons. And this was about 1987 or 88. And, you know, it's just another example of how we propped up the Saddam Hussein regime, how we looked the other way at the atrocities that we knew he was committing because we were tilting toward Iraq as a way of continuing our long-running struggle against Iran, with whom Saddam was in an eight-year bloody, bloody war at that time.
Yeah, and absolutely the U.S. government was engaged not only in this enemy of my enemy is my friend, but also a willingness to get down and dirty and help absolute butchers because for geopolitical reasons they wanted to tilt, as you say, against another country, in this case, Iran.
And you cite an article, and I'm going to defer to you because I was using my faulty memory, but you cite July 17, 1984, a New York Times article with a Baghdad dateline sketchily filled in a bit more information saying the government granted Iraq about $2 million in commodity credits to buy food over the last 2 years. So the episode I'm talking about may be separate from that because I recall it was a little later in the 1980s.
Well,
but it shows the pattern. It shows the pattern.
Absolutely.
Of U.S. collusion.
Yeah, I think so. And it's remarkable because, you know, I would like to take credit for some kind of investigative reporting, but all I did was go back and look at the articles that appeared in not obscure publications called the New York Times and the Washington Post. And you would think that with hundreds of active journalists for major media outlets in Washington, in the last few days, rather than simply trumpet the conviction and scheduled execution of Saddam Hussein, they would have reached into the Orwellian memory hole back to 1982 and 3 and 4 and explained to people that, gee, this Secretary of Defense in the United States is somebody who is quite relevant to this crime that is being described by Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. Well, and this has been a problem all along, that the U.S. media doesn't really give us that history or that context. They act as if any given story that they're covering started only recently.
Yeah, and it's quite a contradiction because when this war is being justified, and I use that term advisedly, by the White House, they love to talk about what Saddam Hussein did in the 1980s. But when we start to bring up what Donald Rumsfeld and the Reagan administration and then the first Bush administration did, all of a sudden that's ancient history, and why are we bringing it up?
Yeah. And it's so inconvenient at those times.
It is.
And we sure hear about that. Well, what do you make of the recent calls now from the Army Times and its companion military publications? I have never heard of them calling for a sitting defense secretary's resignation.
Yeah, it's a split among the elites. And, of course, being owned by Gannett, this is an on-high decision that many of the corporate media are just thinking that this administration has gone too far. And until we can come to grips with how to stop this not only rightward slide, but also just irresponsible, reckless drift and plunge of the administration in Washington, then I think more and more of the establishment is going to try to stop Bush from just going overboard.
Well, it is interesting to see people like Richard Perle sharply critical of the Iraq strategy in public. They really are jumping ship, and some of them, I can imagine Bush saying, you couldn't have kept quiet just for another week or two?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, they know how the wind is blowing, at least in terms of the House and public opinion. I guess rodents do jump ship, and in this case, we've got people like Ken Edelman, who bragged about how it was going to be a cakewalk into Baghdad, Richard Perle. These are the odious proponents of the invasion of Iraq, used all kinds of scurrilous arguments and concoctions. Now they want to try to salvage what's left of their reputations.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's just surreal because even as we hear more and more people who originally supported the war and supported the neocons call for Rumsfeld's resignation, And we hear these, I call it political whiplash, Norman, because the messages coming out of Bush and his colleagues and his staff repeaters over the last 2 weeks have indicated that he's ready to change strategy in Iraq. He says that, and in the next breath he says, but I'm going to keep Rumsfeld and Cheney. We're not going to allow the country to be partitioned. And he basically rules out any of the obvious options that the Baker Commission or anybody else might bring forward to say, hey, why don't we try something different out there?
Well, surreal is a good word for it. And they're not going to try anything much different unless they're compelled to. And I think that means, A, that no matter where we're talking about in this country, people in every region of the United States vote out Republicans from the House and Senate. That's the most powerful message against this war that can be sent. And beyond that, Democrats in Congress are going to have to stop being a chicken about this and start to cut off funding for the war. That's the only way this war is going to be stopped.
You're right. Norman Solomon with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us with a comment, do so. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. And as we continue, we're going to talk about how lucky Tom Friedman is because he married a billionaire. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 15 minutes before the hour. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Dennis Donahue is running for mayor of Salinas because he has a vision of a great city and a plan to make it real. The Salinas Police Officers Association endorses Dennis's vision. They say Dennis is the leader we trust to help us do our job, making Salinas safe for all of our families. The Salinas Californian endorses Dennis's vision. They say Dennis Donahue is a potent blend of intelligence and passion, and that he's someone an ethnically diverse city can trust and rally around. The Monterey County Weekly endorses Dennis Donahue. They say Donahue is rock solid on economic development and safety. Dennis is also endorsed by six former mayors of Salinas, the Monterey County Business Political Action Committee, Nancy Katowski, retired Judge John Phillips, Pastor Frank Gomez, Gloria De La Rosa, and leaders throughout our community. Imagine a great city. Vote Dennis Donahue for mayor of Salinas.
I'm Dennis Donahue, and I approve this message.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, we kick it off with California's Green Party candidate for governor, Peter Cameo. And he's going to ask for your vote tomorrow if you live in the great state of California. We continue now with writer and media critic Norman Solomon. And you can find more about him on his website, normansolomon.com. S-O-L-O-M-O-N is the correct spelling. And Norman, I'm just catching up on your recent posts about Tom Friedman, the New York Times columnist and promoter of all things global. And you wrote a piece that was kind of a parody of how Tom Friedman would speak if he were to lower his guard and be heard in a frank and uncensored moment. Tell us what you fantasized about there.
Well, I really could imagine him being a bit blunt about how he develops his themes, which is that the world has changed, flattened out, playing field level because of this great technology, digital world, internet, and all that. And so whether you live in Bangalore or in Amman or Durham or elsewhere in the country, you just got to get on the internet, be smart, hire people to work different shifts, do that outsourced work, and everything's going to be fine. And one of the things I said in the piece was that, you know, I was the persona of Tom Friedman. Well, I'm pretty rich, but I'm not as rich as the people who run the New York Times who employ me. And I got email from people who informed me that, in fact, Tom Friedman is probably richer than the people who run the New York Times. His wisdom included getting married to a woman with a family fortune of about $2.7 billion with a B dollars, which is certainly his and their prerogative to get married. But here's a guy who is a champion of corporate globalization, contemptuous of efforts to lessen the divides between rich and poor. And in the interest of full disclosure, maybe he ought to just let people know that, you know, they don't have a chance to marry a billionaire in his case, but they do have a chance to read a billionaire every time they pick up his column.
Well, and it has to have an impact. You're correct that I have no criticism or judgment of him because he married well. Maybe there's a little jealousy there, but I can get over that. But when you learn about his lifestyle, that they built a $9 million house on 7 acres in a Tony section of the Maryland suburbs, and that, you know, he has this kind of wealth, it's certainly right for us to suspect that it informs his viewpoints. And you brought up a case in point about an interview he did with Tim Russert recently, or I don't remember exactly when it was.
Yes.
But it was about free trade. And give us that gist.
Yeah, it was in July of this year. And even given Friedman's enthusiasm for all things so-called free trade, it's really pretty shocking. On CNBC with Tim Russert, this is what Friedman said. He said, "We got this free market, and I admitted I was speaking out in Minnesota, my hometown, in fact, and the guy stood up in the audience and said, 'Mr. Friedman, is there any free trade agreement you'd oppose?' I said, 'Absolutely not.' I said, 'You know what, sir? I wrote a column supporting the CAFTA, the Caribbean Free Trade Initiative. I didn't even know what was in it. I just knew two words, free trade.'"
Wow.
And I got some email after I ran that column quoting from the transcript, and a couple people pointed out to me that not only is the quote so incriminating, but as it happened, he even got the name of the trade agreement wrong.
Well, that's his Jason Blair moment.
Yes, he didn't even read, you know, the title. Apparently, he didn't even know what the title was. It's not the Caribbean Free Trade Initiative. It's the Central American Free Trade Agreement. But, you know, if you just take it on faith, what difference does it make?
Now, after you've run this column, did, for example, the people's editor at the New York Times become aware of this? It really does seem a pretty damaging admission from Friedman.
Well, it is, and I think that many people who were Friedman fans or even who didn't like him but figured he had kind of the intellectual chops were really taken aback. I haven't heard from anybody at the New York Times. I think the guy has carte blanche to do anything he wants, and that's very troubling.
So he's a superstar. He's a bankable columnist from their point of view. And we did see with Judith Miller, who, you know, really doesn't have his stature, that she had a very long leash at the Times and was able to wriggle out of it even when they tried to tighten it up.
Yeah, I think that's true, and this is the punditocracy to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever seen Friedman get a comeuppance? He certainly seems to be inviting it.
Well, he's in a bubble, I think. And we leave aside the $9 million home and so forth and the great wealth. But even though kind of the conceit of his column is often that he's a regular guy who hangs out on the factory floor in Bangalore, he's somebody who is so insulated that, you know, you can't challenge him. You could meet with your senator quicker than you could meet with him. And, of course, those who own the press have the free press.
Yeah. And I believe I'm correctly blaming you for this, Norman, but I think in the recent past, in the last year, you also wrote a column which compared the predictions that Tom Friedman had made over a period of time. The next 3 to 6 months will be the definitive period in Iraq. And he said that on a rolling basis over the last 3 years. He finally did publish a column calling for a Plan B, and I think that went out in July or August of this year.
Yeah, it was a long wait. Actually, that was the Media Watch Group FAIR, which did the research and found, as you say, that over a period of years and years, he has continually written and said, well, it's a matter of the next 6 months. If it can't be turned around in Iraq in 6 months, it's all over. So he keeps pushing the horizon. And to me, it's very reminiscent of somebody who makes it up as he goes along, whistles past the graveyard, and you got to take it with a big grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And any chance that your column will be published as an op-ed in the Times?
You know, I hear that it's going to happen right when the green cheese lobby pulls down the moon to start marketing.
Norman has his book of far-fetched aphorisms out today.
It's my Dan Rather moment, yes.
That dog won't hunt. Anything else on Friedman before we move on?
Well, I think that he is the resident expert on corporate globalization for the entire U.S. news media, which makes these revelations about the shallowness of his knowledge, I think, all the more upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he does have moments of self-reflection in the column, like the Plan B column that I referenced a moment ago. But he never really calls back or deactivates statements that he's made prior.
Well, being a great pundit means you never have to apologize. And just as we were talking about how he recycled that we only got 6 months for a period of years, he loves to recycle some of his most idiotic statements. For instance, he loved this thing he made up, a four-word phrase, give war a chance. And when U.S.-led NATO bombing of Yugoslavia was happening, he went on ABC, he went on other networks, he wrote in his column several times, give war a chance. And then when bombing of Afghanistan began in late 2001, he recycled his phraseology again. So he's quite fond of his own aphorisms.
Mm-hmm. What a great guy. Norman, about 2 minutes remaining, I wanted to turn to the issues of Ted Haggard, who's been all over the media since Thursday or so, when a self-described gay prostitute, or as Rupert Murdoch would refer to him in The Sun, a rent boy, went public with the story that he had been paid for sex by Ted Haggard for over a three-year period, about once a month they were getting together, and that he sold or arranged for the Reverend Haggard to acquire some methamphetamine. Well, curiously, in a Driveway News interview on Friday, he acknowledged the meth and said that not all of the rest of these allegations are true. But then he resigned yesterday, and his church issued a statement that he had resigned because of sexually immoral behavior. So are we going to get the truth about this, or is this a sordid story that the media will just kind of enjoy stretching out?
Well, I think there was some enjoyment in the salacious aspects, but I've been disappointed that so much of the media coverage in the last 72 hours has detoured around the close political relationship between this guy and Karl Rove. He was an operative for the White House, and while they kept avoiding an unseemly closeness in public that was too overt, he was clearly one of the most important evangelical right-wing fundamentalist, and I should say homophobic leaders in the country, aligned with the Bush White House strategy in electoral terms. So, you know, some of those dots just have not been very well connected by the mass media in the last few days.
Well, and I have absolutely nothing to base this on, but I'm just waiting for Jeff Gannon to re-enter the picture. Norman, thanks for talking with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
Norman Solomon's most recent book, War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death, and read the piece he posted today about Rumsfeld and Saddam at commondreams.org. Coming up next, Peter Cameo, California's Green Party candidate for governor, will join us. And also next hour, Susie Turnbull, vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, with prognostications for tomorrow, Election Day. That's ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Whipping up the crowds on election eve.
Are you ready for a great Democratic victory?
Republicans are going to turn out. It's going to be a great victory on November the 7th.
Record floods in Washington State.
This is a really serious situation, which could turn into a potential disaster.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. One final furious day of campaigning before Americans go to the polls. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is traveling with President Bush.
Addressing thousands of cheering Florida Republicans, President Bush dismissed predictions of a Democrat takeover in Congress, saying the pundits were wrong 2 years ago.
Same thing's going to happen tomorrow. Republicans are going to turn out. It's going to be a great victory on November the 7th.
Not at the rally to hear that assurance was Republican gubernatorial candidate Charlie Crist, who said he needed to campaign elsewhere in the state. But Mr. Bush still urged Republicans to vote for Crist. Mark Noller, CBS News, with the president in Pensacola, Florida.
Mr. Bush is flying to Dallas now after a stop in Arkansas, where Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson is in an uphill fight. The Senate race in Missouri looks like a squeaker.
This is Steve Futterman in St. Louis. Many Democrats are hoping this woman can help them take control of the U.S. Senate.
Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Hi.
Democrat Claire McCaskill is in a tight race with the incumbent Republican Jim Talent. And with the Senate possibly up for grabs, a McCaskill win could mean control for the Democrats. The day before the election, McCaskill was on the stump.
The question is this year, who's more motivated? People who want to hold on to the way it is now or people who want change? I'm betting on change.
The public opinion polls indicate this race is too close to call.
If the Democrats win control of the House, Nancy Pelosi of California would be Speaker, and according to a Republican ad, Congress would veer sharply to the left. Pelosi brushes it off.
It just shows the bankruptcy of their campaigns. They have no ideas. They have nothing to brag about that they have accomplished. They've been a failure.
CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer predicts the Democrats will take the House.
This election is really a referendum, I think, on Iraq. And so it will be viewed as that by both sides. So I think you may see some impact on Iraq policy, number one.
Schieffer thinks the balance of power in the Senate could be decided by the race in Montana, where Republican incumbent Conrad Burns is facing a stiff challenge from Democrat John Tester. Now this.
Hey, I care about me, myself, and I. So when it comes to my small business, I take everything personally. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need without the middlemen, the hassles, or the hard sell. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, that's why I went into business for myself in the first place.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind, yours, Dell. Purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a...
Ricola!
Heavy, heavy rain has brought flooding to western Washington State. Tim Hake of station KIRO is covering the evacuation.
I just left a neighborhood in the small town of Granite Falls. Rescuers are using an inflatable hovercraft to navigate the streets, which are underwater. They're going door to door checking for people who need rescue.
In Cedro Woolley, patients are being moved out of United General Hospital. CEO Greg Reed says the Skagit River is expected to crest at 40 feet.
This hospital, if that were to happen, would probably become an island. So we've been evacuating patients for most of the day.
Governor Chris Gregoire has declared a state of emergency in 18 counties. Deja vu in Southern California. Firefighters in Rialto, 60 miles east of Los Angeles, are battling to control a new wind-driven wildfire that forced the evacuation of two schools and threatens as many as 100 homes. Right now, Stephen Hansen of the San Bernardino Fire Department says the blaze is being fueled by wooden pallets in an industrial area.
We're calling the fire 30% contained at this time, because even though the flames are currently seem to be confined to this pallet yard, there's a strong possibility that they could spread because we still have high winds blowing in that area.
Soon after the election, President Bush might be looking for a new ambassador to Baghdad. A senior administration official says Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, who's also done a tour in Kabul, is expected to step down. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, I care about me, myself, and I. So when it comes to my small business, I take everything personally. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need without the middlemen, the hassles, or the hard sell. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, that's why I went into business for myself in the first place.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind, yours. Dell, purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
Okay, Mr. Cold is out there, and he's coming. What can you do? Get dual-action, healthy relief cold-reduce lozenges now. Why? Because they're dual-action. They relieve your cold symptoms and are formulated to reduce the duration of your cold by days. So when Mr. Cold comes knocking, you can escort him out fast. Homeopathic, healthy relief cold-reduce lozenges. A better way to feel your best, fast. Also in flu formula, at retailers everywhere. Read and follow label warnings and directions.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up on the half hour, Susie Turnbull, vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, will join us. But first, for California voters, tomorrow you've got a choice for governor. We're going to talk with the Green Party candidate, Peter Cameo.
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
The girly man can, cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interests and a lobbyist or two. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
That's my pal Lou Spruce Kerr. By day he's a lawyer, and at night he goes into the studio and concocts little ditties like that. That's the girly man, with apologies to Sammy Davis Jr. That was originally the Candyman song. Peter Miguel Cameo is the Green Party candidate for governor here in California, on the ballot tomorrow, and he joins us on the phone today. Peter, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate the inspiration that you offer many people in your candidacies. In particular, I credit you for your role in the recall effort just 3 years ago, when you were invited onto the televised debates, and you and Arianna Huffington really gave Schwarzenegger a run for his money, and he's got a lot more than either of you.
Yeah. Well, we're, you know, one of the tragedies of the electoral system in the United States is that the control at the top with the money means that basic facts, basic real issues get lost and are not discussed. And I don't know if people are aware that Arnold Schwarzenegger is running a TV ad saying that we are spending more on education than ever before in our history. And the reason I mention this, well, it's totally not true, but the reason I mention it is because something like this can be run, and literally millions of people will believe it, and no newspaper, no TV station challenges it. Let me tell you how dramatically wrong it is. California is right now spending about $1,000 per student less than the national average in the United States. It used to spend $600 more than the national average. So then you say, well, how can he run this? Because you see they're not adjusting the numbers to inflation or the number of students. So they're just picking a nominal figure.
Right.
You understand that, and I think most people listening to your program understand that. But they know very well what they're doing is dishonest, and yet it's just massive publicity, massive. But it's like that one issue after another. But
Peter, you don't seem to understand.
Yeah.
It's a guy delivering a script.
Yes.
And the script was written by the best pros who were imported from the Bush machinery in Washington.
Yeah.
This is a guy who has completely reinvented himself. And while no special effects were used, it is remarkable that just a year ago this week, Arnold Schwarzenegger was at his low water mark. He was completely skunked in his ballot measure menu last year. And, $300 million was wasted on it in campaign money and the cost of elections, et cetera. And yet he managed, with the, complicity of the media in this state, to reinvent himself, steal a bunch of Democratic ideas like increasing the minimum wage and softening some of his pro-Republican positions on the environment and global warming. And so he comes off as a moderate Democrat this year, and I think a lot of people are going to be bitten a year or two from now when he morphs again. And I believe he will morph back into a Republican. He will maintain this no new taxes pledge. He'll put billions of dollars of bonds on the ballot and pay for it later with huge interest expense. But he will not raise taxes because that's a politically expedient position to take.
Well, let me say that he is raising taxes everywhere in California. But the point you're making is totally accurate and totally correct, because the type of taxes he's raising is like when you cross the Bay Bridge, instead of two, it's three. If you go to a college, your tuition is being raised. That is, there's all these indirect taxes that mm-hmm. they're using.
Well, the cost of health care is the biggest increase in household expenses in the last 5 years, and he has now worked to undermine universal health care coverage, not once, but twice.
But I think the thing that we should be looking at and understand is the role of the Democrats in all of this and how they've helped Arnold to get elected, how they've worked. I'll give one example. In San Francisco, the leaders of the Democratic Party, from the head of the Senate, the mayor of the city, the ex-head of the assembly, they get together.
Well, let's name the names. You're talking about John Burton and Willie Brown.
Willie Brown, not Burton, the one who's in there now from Oakland.
Oh, Parada.
Parada,
mm-hmm.
And Barbara Boxer, the mayor of San Francisco. They get up and have a meeting for Arnold 1 month before the election, give him a standing ovation, and what's the message they're sending? Everybody gets it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even for their own candidate. They are supporting this guy. But let's look at the bigger picture, because this election tomorrow, it's about the war in Iraq. And you have Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco, and everybody's so excited we're going to have this progressive in there. She voted, and I'm going to quote here, a motion that said unequivocal support for George Bush's conduct of the war in Iraq. That's what she voted for. When she was confronted with a motion saying that, she raised her hand for it. She stood up and gave George Bush 35 standing ovations in 1 hour. At his State of the Union address in 2005, and every single time George Bush used the word Iraq, she stood and cheered him on. So what we have is this giant lie that we have one party that's opposing the war, one party that's for the war, so you can express your anti-war feelings by voting for the Democrats. The fact is, the Democrats, actually, their central leaders have called for more troops. The presidential race took place, their candidate called for increasing military. In fact, Nancy Pelosi is explicitly saying she wants to increase the military, she wants more units that can be sent for rapid deployment to invade other countries. And so, here's your chance. There's no spoiler issue now in the race for Senate in California or for governor. You can vote green. That is, for people who don't do it out of a moral or a political commitment that we are no longer going to vote for war or for people who represent the corporate powers, for those people who waver on that but agree with the Greens, for God's sakes, if there ever was a time you can vote green, it's now.
Well, Peter, it's really interesting because Todd Kreshen, who is the Green Party candidate for Senate here in California, was a guest on our program the week before last. And I announced that given that the Republican will not put a dent in Dianne Feinstein's reelection machinery, that I'm going to be voting for Todd Kreshen because I want to send a message to Dianne Feinstein that she cannot take my vote for granted, even when she's going to cakewalk to victory. And likewise, Peter Camejo, I have been persuaded that the 16-point gap between Phil Angelides and Governor Schwarzenegger will not be closed. And so a vote for Angelides is unfortunately going to be a wasted vote. But a vote for Peter Camejo could send a message that people embrace your ideas about the economy, about the distribution of wealth, about the distribution of the tax load, about access to education, about trying to end the overarching power that the two parties have over our political system. And I voted for Dan Hamburg in the first Gray Davis election. I voted for you. When Davis ran for re-election, I voted for you when you ran in the recall. And I will be voting for you tomorrow. Now, I don't endorse candidates or instruct my listeners how to vote, but I offer this as my message because I'm going to be voting for you because it sends the greatest possibility of a message of hope and change. And there's one other practical issue. Address this, Peter. If you polled higher than 10%, which I don't expect, but it would be an interesting benchmark for you, wouldn't it permit the Green Party to get greater funding under the Clean Money Initiative, Prop 89, in the future?
Yes, it would. And I do believe that that's a good reason to vote, and especially, and I'm talking again to people who may not agree with my, hardcore, I call it, the way I explain it is the Liberty Party, the abolitionists, who said, we won't vote for these two parties anymore, period, ever. These two parties are destroying our planet. That's what I say today. We don't vote for them. But for people who waver on that, I think, and I'm not angry at anybody who says that to me. You know, I don't get angry at anybody because I think we're all victims of a spoiler system. All you have to do is have runoffs, and then people are free to vote for who they really support, and then in the runoff they can do their lesser evil thing. I mean, the point is, that's normal, that's understandable. If your candidate comes in third or fourth, and gosh, they're not in the runoff, well then in the runoff you decide which is the lesser evil, but you should have a system, electoral system, where they're free to vote for what they believe in. And so this is a great time to send them a message. I think we should send a message to the Democrats how disgusted we are with the way they are acting and the way they're supporting Arnold. I mean, the truth is the Democratic Party has stabbed their own candidate in the back. I happen to like Phil Angelides.
Okay? Yeah, me too. I don't agree
with him on a lot of stuff, but I like this guy.
Yeah.
I think he's a decent person. I think he's tried to do some good things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if it was neck and neck, I could understand somebody saying, Peter, look, I love you, I agree with you, and you're on the death penalty, I'm with you on three strikes and a million other things, but I'm going to vote for Phil because of this trap we're in, and Phil's a relatively decent guy. Now, I could understand that. I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, I'm going to argue with you, but I'm going to respect you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Peter, I got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. And I want to open up the phone lines here for some advice from listeners. I took it on the chin when I told you I'm going to vote for Todd Kreshen, the Green Party candidate for Senate. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, I want you to call right now and express yourself. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Toll free, 1-888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue with Green Party candidate for governor, Peter Camejo, right after this on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Tuesday night is election night. Keep an ear on your radio for the coverage you won't get on TV. Join us for a marathon election integrity special exclusively on this station. I'm Peter B. Collins. I'll be anchoring from San Francisco. My co-host Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com will anchor from Los Angeles. And we have a network of reporters and contributors nationwide, all focused on the election process and the problems we expect. Join us Tuesday night for the Election Integrity Marathon right here.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's give you the very latest. We're going to start off with a problem in Aptos Hills, Larkin Valley. White Road north of Larkin Valley Road. We have a fender bender report there and some sort of accident. Solo vehicle went off the roadway there. And we're also going to mention that a tow truck is now on scene. Also want to mention that in Aromas, eastbound 129 after Rodge Lane, we do have a disabled vehicle. A vehicle blocking. It's near the right-hand lane. It's also leaking gas. So on the roadway, so they've called out for the fire department to come on scene there. Also want to mention Boulder Creek. Highway 9 at Larkspur Street. We do have a problem report there. This is an accident blocking the roadway. A delivery van and a car involved in this particular vehicle. This report brought to you by Cron 4. The Cron 4 Morning News. No fluff, no frivolous banter, just the facts. More weather and traffic reports that, to get you out the door. This report brought to you by Cron 4.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Tomorrow, election night, our election integrity special, live on most of these same stations.
As I was walking a ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I won't ramble.
Last night we were over at my friend Karen's house sipping a little wine and doing a little hootenanny, and we took on this song, This Land Is Your Land. There are three or four verses in there I'd never heard of before. We continue with Peter Miguel Camejo. He is the Green Party candidate for governor of California again this year. Peter, just a quick comment on the integrity of our electoral system. Do you have confidence that votes will be accurately counted, tabulated, and reported in tomorrow's election here in California?
No. I noticed a peculiar thing, which I want to tell people. I don't make an issue of it because I have no evidence of anything to prove anything. But, you know, when I ran in the recall, I was sort of struck that my vote declined, and I thought, okay, you know, it was one of these situations where the vote was, it was pretty much the polls were showing Arnold was going to win by about 14%. And so I thought, well, the green vote will go up, right? And instead it went down. But the exit polls that were made all showed me with a much higher vote in every district. That is, wherever exit polls were done, there was a difference between what I received in the exit and what I actually received in the votes they counted on the machines.
Apparently you didn't hear about the presidential order. We only count exit polls in the Ukraine.
But anyway, I don't know. All I know is this. The minute you have computers counting the ballots in the world we live in, and I mean this everywhere, you lose confidence because everybody knows it can be altered easily, and it's very difficult to check.
Let's go to Maria in Pacific Grove. Thanks for your call, Maria. You're on the air with Peter Camejo. Maria, did you survive? Oh, I'm sorry. You can call us back. Now, Jackie in Watsonville, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I'm really glad that you're taking my call, and I admire your program and your integrity.
Why, thank you.
Okay, I want to say that about 3 months ago, I changed to green. I was almost a lifelong Democrat. I did not vote for Mr. Camejo, although I admire him tremendously. I'll tell you what I did. I got so angry at the Democrats for siding with Arnold Schwarzenegger and leaving their candidate in the, you know, in the cold water or whatever, the cold air. I turned around and I voted for Angelides because I thought they really did him. I think they did Angelides a disservice. They're not very, I don't know, they're not very loyal, to say the least. But I think maybe next time I will try, if Mr. Camejo is still running for something, I think I will try to work for him.
All right. Well, thanks for your honesty, Jackie. And I would only say that I share your feelings. I believe that Angelides deserved a much better shot. I think he was the better of the two primary candidates.
Much.
If Wesley were here, you know, it would probably be a bigger gap in the polls.
Yeah.
But that said, Angelides never got a chance to recover from the primary. Schwarzenegger was up with commercials that mirrored the Wesley attacks just 3 days after the election.
Right.
And Angelides, even with his stinky use of independent expenditure dollars in the primary, he was tapped out. And, you know, then the people who write the checks wrote him off.
But,
before.
You know, you shouldn't have to be rich to run for office.
Well, and that's why I support Prop 89.
And so did I.
All right, Jackie. Thank you very much. Now to Gary in St. Louis. Hello, Gary.
Yes, yes. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm great today.
Okay, I'm just getting off work. I had to rush in here so I could get online and not miss any more of your show. I always listen to the podcast, but it's the show, the live stream is always excellent.
Well, thank you.
And Peter, I want to say that I agree with your guests and you and the lady before me. 100%. I am so sick and tired. All I can see is Barbara Boxer stumping for Lieberman.
Lieberman. Yeah,
exactly. And that really, I have always defended Barbara Boxer her entire career. I could not believe what in the world I was seeing with my own two eyes and listening to.
Well, I think Barbara is, she needs one of those neuralizers.
I think she's gone over to the dark side.
Do you remember, Gary, you remember the movie Men in Black?
Yes.
You know, Tommy Lee and Will Smith, they got this little gizmo that causes people to forget.
Exactly.
But they got to wear their Ray-Bans.
Exactly.
Well, I think for Christmas we should all get Barbara Boxer a neuralizer.
Right, exactly.
And she can try to get us to forget that she stumped for Lieberman.
I want to get I want the Democrats to win because I want to, it's just like, you know, you and Mike Malloy are my favorite two hosts, and I like Newcomb also. But I want the Democrats to get in there.
All right, let's get a word from the candidate here. Peter Camejo, go ahead.
Yes, well, I think that, you know, I have a joke that I used to say in the 2004 campaign, that when you vote Democrat, if you quickly put your hand to your forehead, you will feel a coldness coming over your body.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's because your soul is leaving and going to the dark side.
They've completely shut out the third-party candidates. I was watching one of the one third-party candidate tried to speak,
mm-hmm.
and they called the authorities in on him. And I think the police told the gentleman that the guy that had his son's head cut off.
He couldn't even be a spectator at that debate. And Peter Cameo, you didn't get invited to the Seoul debate that Schwarzenegger agreed to this year.
Let me just say, the people should know this. The ABC poll said 69% of the people in California want me in the debate. In the MAPA poll, the Mexican-American Political Association mm-hmm. did a poll, 63% of the people wanted me in the debate.
Now, Peter, I got to stop. I'm sorry we're out of time. Good luck to you. Thanks for running.
Okay, thank you.
Peter Cameo.
Okay, bye-bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teacher's highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Saddam found guilty. Could this be it? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Despite three lawyers being killed, pictures of Saddam looking vulnerable in his underwear, and help from radical anti-war crusader Ramsey Clark, an Iraqi court has found Saddam Hussein so very guilty, meaning we have reached another benchmark.
Saddam Hussein trial is a milestone.
Okay, milestone, whatever. We have reached another milestone in Iraq, and we're all here in the backseat wondering, are we there yet? Is this the milestone that means we're finally there? Is this enough to say we've won? Because just to recap, we caused Saddam's army to evaporate. We confirmed conclusively that the country was free of nukes. We helped write a new constitution and hold free elections. Plus, we killed Saddam's sons, captured his henchmen, and now he's been convicted and sentenced to death. What other country can do all that and still give everybody a tax cut? So I can't blame you if you're among those asking, after all that, are we there yet? But the answer is no, because you've forgotten one thing. As the president pointed out again this weekend, there is one person whose opinion is more important on this matter than anyone else's.
Oh, I know some in America don't believe Iraq is a central front in the war on terror, and that's fine, they can have that opinion. But Osama bin Laden knows it's a central front in the war on terror. He has called Iraq the Third World War.
Iraq is still important because Osama says so. We need to find that guy and shut him up. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. 648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Did you hear there's an election tomorrow?
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
This word of warning, I have issued a decree that takes the state of South Dakota to a double red alert. Don't worry, it's not terrorism. Dick Cheney is going hunting tomorrow on Election Day.
Any city.
Joining us this half hour is the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. She's got that office right down the hall from Howard Dean. Susie Turnbull joins us. Hello, Susie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great today. And I don't know if you remember, I was one of the 100 people who interviewed you at the Take Back America conference.
I absolutely do remember.
Back in June. And
yep.
It's been a long ride since then. Tell me, are you going hunting tomorrow on Election Day?
Yeah, we're hunting for Republicans tomorrow. Actually, what we're really hunting for is independents, because what we really want is to make sure that independents are with us tomorrow.
Now, the most recent poll I saw about independents was about 10 days ago, and it showed them breaking 2-1 for Democrats.
Yep, and I think that, and they are doing that for a reason. I mean, obviously, people across this country, regardless of political affiliation, want change. That's their number one goal right now, is to get change, to make sure that we change the course in Iraq, we change the course for health care, we change the course up and down the line.
Well, but you can get change from the Bush administration. All they want to do is change the subject. Like, you know, a Kerry joke is more important than the problems in Iraq and the fact that North Korea, the same day, decided to come back to the six-party talks.
I know. Absolutely. I mean, basically, the priorities have been wrong, and wrong for America. And I think it's time that we see something different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited, actually, I have to tell you, because I went today. I was at four canvas and get out the vote phone banking sites, and at these are all in Maryland. And someone introduced me to a woman at one of the sites. She lives in Michigan most of the time, but she's here at NIH for tests. And so what did she do when she had some time off between her tests, her medical tests? She was sitting at a phone bank in Bethesda, Maryland. and I just saw her about 10 minutes ago, and I'm thinking to myself, this says it all. People are ready for a change, want to change, and want to do something different.
Well, Susie, it is very exciting, and it's also a little nerve-wracking. One of the polls I saw that was a little disappointing showed that the Democratic surge peaked about 10 days ago. Now, it hasn't crashed precipitously, but it has declined about 4 or 5 points. And that, of course, is in the very broad polling, would you prefer a Democrat over a Republican, which in particular is less accurate when it trickles down into the congressional races, because people make those decisions on a seat-by-seat basis in most cases. But do you have a concern? Did the Democrats peak a little too early in this cycle?
Absolutely not. I mean, I heard this afternoon that we have knocked on or had voter contacts with 31.4 million contacts, million people or households over the last weekend, which is sort of one of the most remarkable numbers I've ever heard. Thousands of volunteers, for example, across Iowa made 150,000 phone calls and knocked on 75,000 doors this past weekend.
And how many robocalls did Howard Rove send to that state, tricking people into believing it was a Democrat calling them over and over again?
Is that unbelievable? I mean, basically, that in Maryland, we have voter suppression techniques that are being peddled by the Republican Party here.
Mm-hmm.
They have a manual, and this is the Republican Party that was chaired by Michael Steele, before he was lieutenant governor. I mean, this is the same group of people who from one side of the mouth they say we want to count every vote, and from every other side of their mouth it's like, but we don't want there to be that many votes.
Yeah.
It's a pathetic state of affairs. I mean,
well Susie, let me ask you about that.
We're really excited, though. We're really enthusiastic about everything.
Well, I'm excited, too, but here's my concern, and you and I talked about this in Washington in June.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the Republicans are willing to game elections, using some legal methods, some questionable methods, and some, in my view, clearly illegal methods, makes a real challenge for the Democrats to overcome a margin of graft. And many of these races are trending so close that it does give me concern that the Republicans will be able to use their gamesmanship, some legal, some not, to manipulate things in their direction.
Well, I will tell you, we have a couple things. First of all, we have a voter integrity hotline. It's 1-888-DEM-VOTE, D-E-M-V-O-T-E, and people can call that line and register any problems they're seeing before the, I mean, people have been doing this all weekend, before the election, during the election, immediately after the election. And what it is, it's a computerized system that is sending people back to the states, to the state parties, and we have people all over the country who are ready, willing, and able to stop any efforts for voter fraud, basically.
Now let's use the right term here: election fraud.
Election
because
fraud.
There's very little evidence
right.
that
and
voters
and
have
I
committed fraud.
Speak, because it really is the case that there aren't no one ever walks. There are so few, if any, cases that are ever prosecuted. Ann Coulter is the exception here these days, which is one of the funniest things about the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
The one person who actually did try to vote in the wrong precinct is Ann Coulter, and she gets caught. I mean, that's the most telling of all.
Yeah.
In her instance, of course, she'll say it was a quote-unquote mistake. Now, on the other hand, what we do find is that there are efforts for voter suppression. Things that we're seeing in New Mexico and I know in Southern California, for example, they're doing things like calling people in the middle of the night and having a Democrat's voice appear on the phone, the Democratic candidate. That's
mm-hmm.
what's happening in Francis and Busby's district. And what we need to do is call them on that. We need to call them on any effort not to show up at the polls. In Maryland, in our primary, we had Republican judges who didn't show up at the polls, so they couldn't open the polls. But we've trained our judges, we have trained our lawyers, we have trained our team to make sure that they're familiar with the laws and they make sure that everybody has every opportunity to vote.
And what about, I read a piece over the weekend that both Republican and Democratic committees have platoons of lawyers. Where have you dispatched your election lawyers in the event that there are misdeeds or a need for a recount, that sort of extra inning activity?
We have them all over the country. I mean, I can tell you, just to give you a sense, we have every campaign has something. They're not a secret, but they're boiler rooms where you have people sitting in a room together figuring out, okay, how many canvas locations people do we have out canvassing? How many people do we have making phone calls? What site is doing what, when, and there? Well, we also have lawyers doing the exact same thing right now. And I have a boiler room operation in my basement today, and I have four lawyers here who are here on behalf of the people of Maryland, Democratic Party, and they are following to see what's happening at our boards of elections and are prepared for the polls.
Mm-hmm. And has Howard Dean issued a memo to each and every candidate in this country not to concede until every vote is counted?
Actually, Howard has not done that. The Democratic Party has not done that, to the best of my knowledge. I don't think we've done that. But what we have done...
How about an instant message? Can we get it out?
is we have clearly encouraged our candidates to be very careful and to and having seen what we all have seen and what we all know to be the case, we're doing everything we can to encourage our candidates to get out the biggest and the best vote that they can get, so that there is no question, there is no opportunity for deception and for this election to be stolen.
We're talking with Susie Turnbull. She is vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call. She's with us till the top of the hour. And lines are open now, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. That's toll-free, 1-888-5-PETER-B. Now, Susie, you mentioned Francine Busby. Mm-hmm. We have watched very closely the issues related to the special election that was held in District 50 to replace Duke Cunningham because he had to go to jail. Mm-hmm. And it occurred on the same date as our primary, June 6th this year. And Francine Busby comes to mind as someone who conceded too early. And there were serious questions raised about the process of the election, about the lack of a chain of custody for the voting machines that were used, and there were a few other issues, too, including the smear campaign that the Republicans ran during the last week of the race. Mm-hmm. And I believe she did concede too early, and it gave Dennis Hastert the opportunity to swear Brian Bilbray into the House before the election was even certified. And I think that's a cautionary tale for every candidate, because we have so many people voting absentee. We have so many questions about emergency paper ballots, provisional ballots, and the efficacy of the machines that are going to be used in 80% of the elections that are taking place tomorrow. And in my view, it's poor judgment to concede based on the tally on election night, because there are going to be uncounted votes and undiscovered issues that will not be available to that candidate for a late night concession on election night.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, the fact that we do have all of these lawyers available and that we do have everything set up the way that we do right now, we hopefully will never, ever see something like we saw with the Francine Busby case in that instance. And I think that the American people won't stand for it. But at the same time, what we don't want to do is we don't want people to worry that it's not worth it to vote. We need to make sure that both we have people going to the polls in record numbers, and everyone is clear on this, that we allow for the proper type of exit polling, which means making sure that we have some sense that, and we hope that people will respond to exit polls. We hope that people will do all the things that they think are necessary in making sure that people recognize that this is a watershed election, that people are out there looking for change, and that if there are any things that seem improper, inappropriate in any way, shape, or form, that they call our Democratic hotline at 1-888-DEM-VOTE, because we seriously are going to have people, Johnny on the spot and Jane on the spot, lawyers across this country who can make a difference.
And coming up in our next segment, just after the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by a representative of Video the Vote, and they have tips on how you can capture on video any anomalies that you find at your polling place tomorrow. If you'd like to talk with Susie Turnbull, get on the line right now. She's vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. In our next segment, we'll talk about Howard Dean's 50-state strategy. It appears to be paying dividends even ahead of schedule. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. Let's start off with the Salinas problem. Looks like a broken tractor trailer reported. This would be Hitchcock Road at 68 and blocking the turn lane. Vehicles are cutting through a field to get around it. So a rather unusual situation there. Got a grass fire in Santa Cruz County. Highway 1 at Bonnie Doon. Apparently this fire burning near the roadway. Fire department is not quite on scene yet. So be advised there if you're traveling in that area. Also want to mention another situation, just a reminder that Watsonville, nighttime road work could be to Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom. They'll have Caltrans will have one lane closed in each direction from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. The support brought to you by Sleep Train. Hurry into Sleep Train today. This week you'll pay no interest on any purchase till 2009 with any purchase of any premium mattress set. That's right, up to 26-month interest-free financing on approved credit. I'm Mike with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on tomorrow night, election night. I know you'll be watching TV, but keep a radio handy because most of these same stations will carry the Peter B. Collins and Brad Friedman Election Integrity Special. We're going to be covering the results and any problems that surface with the election.
People moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
Song's a legacy of the 1968 election. It's Electric Motown from about 1970, The Temptations, and Ball of Confusion. There is a lot of confusion out there, and Susie Turnbull, I do understand that some Democratic leaders have tried to soft-pedal the threats and the concerns about the electronic machines and other aspects of voting, trying not to spook people and cause them to give up and just not vote. But I have to tell you, we cover these issues in depth on the program, and if our listeners are any representative sample, I haven't heard from one person who said, I don't trust the machines, therefore I'm not going to vote. People have a determination to make sure that our elections are conducted honestly and that as we go forward, that we come up with uniform standards for the machines, for processes, for recounts. But in the meantime, I have not heard one person who says, I don't trust the machines, therefore I'm not going to vote.
Well, that gives me a great relief because I would be very concerned if people thought otherwise, because that really is giving up. And I think that our society, our country, our world is too important not to cast a vote. I will tell you, though, and you and I have talked about this before, I, like many other people across this country, could not accept the fact that there really were voting irregularities. I couldn't deal with the fact that our country could not conduct a real election properly and fairly. And then what I found in the last 2 years, every place I went, no matter where I went there, no matter what I did, I heard stories. And this summer I spent most of my summer traveling back and forth from Ohio. I'm very close with the Strickland family, and I traveled with Francis Strickland, whose husband is going to be elected governor of Ohio tomorrow, beating Ken Blackwell.
And it will take grand theft, and not Grand Theft Auto, but grand theft on Ken Blackwell's part to cover the 20-point gap between him and Strickland in the polls.
Exactly. I mean, Ted not only is going to win, but he's going to bring in possibly five new Democratic congresspeople from Ohio because of the huge, huge sense in Ohio that about the corruption and the pure, I can't even think of the right words, pure disdain that these people hold for Ken Blackwell and his concerns about what has happened in that state over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And so basically I'm convinced that there are problems that we can have with these machines. I am convinced that there are problems that we don't even know exist, whether they be purposeful or done with forethought. And so what I'm saying to people and what I'm hoping for is that what we do is just prove that we're as vigilant as possible, that we watch everything that is happening. I know in Ohio that a group of wonderful, wonderful volunteers has been working for the last year making sure that every time Ken Blackwell sneezed, we had the tissue ready, basically.
Well, and he's really cleaning up
his mess.
He's really touchy about what kind of paper you use, too, so it would have to be triple ply, 80-pound.
Exactly. One of the things that, I mean, every time he tried to issue a new regulation, we took him to court and we won this year. And I think that basically we are going to be seeing a whole, hopefully we're going to be seeing a different picture tomorrow than we did, than we've done in the past, and that because people are going to do the kinds of things that you suggested, videoing their vote, doing, paying attention, getting the receipt when they can, and also we have had record numbers of people across the country doing the early vote, so that the lines should not be long tomorrow in the same way. They should be moving. We have done everything that we can to train our judges, so our election judges, at least on the Democratic side, are ready, willing, and able to make sure that everyone who is there to cast a ballot has a chance to cast a ballot, and that ballot will be counted and will be handled with care.
Susie Turnbull, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, your boss, Howard Dean, took a lot of heat from Pelosi, from Rahm Emanuel, and from Chuck Schumer about his plan to try to build an operation in every one of the 50 states. And they said, no, we've got to be strategic. We've got to just go in where the battles are. We have to be reptilian, cold-blooded in our decisions, and only support those who can actually win. And it appears that a compromise was struck, but the Dean's plan did go into effect. And now we're seeing some surprise races. There's one in play here in California, the Pombo race. There's the Hayworth race in Arizona. There are a lot of races that didn't appear competitive 4 months ago when Schumer and Emanuel were pounding Howard Dean. And I give him credit for a good vision and long-term thinking.
Well, I'd like to say a few things on this. First of all, he's not my boss, number one.
All right.
He is my colleague. He is the chair of the Democratic Party, and he was elected chair the day I was elected vice chair, with the goal and the understanding that we need a national party. We need a grassroots network. We need to be able to compete and not just focus on a few states during an election. And I give Howard a great deal of credit on looking at this and having the foresight to say, yes, we are going to do this, and let's work together. Our state party chairs and state parties across the country have been working hand in hand in what we call our 50-state partnership. What we have done is we have had paid staffers on the ground for at least 18 months, and in some cases even longer than that.
Just about 30 seconds. Please continue.
Okay. And so what we've done is made sure that when the races were going to pop up, we had people on the ground to make that happen. I will say that Rahm Emanuel and Chuck Schumer recruited fabulous candidates. And so this year is a combination of all things, all the stars aligning in the right place. And I think that we all have a lot to be proud of.
Well, Susie, thanks for joining us today. And give my regards to those lawyers in your basement.
And I will do. I brought them pretzels and water, too.
Great to talk to you. Thank you, Susie Turnbull.
Thank you, Peter. Bye-bye.
Coming up next, we'll tell you how to video the vote, and we'll open up the lines in the free speech zone. If you've received a robocall, call me at 888-5-PETER-B.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush spent the final day of the campaign barnstorming the South.
I thank you for what you're going to do for the next 24 hours. You're going to pick up the phone, you're going to make the phone calls, you're going to turn out your friends and neighbors, and we're going to win.
From Florida to Arkansas to Texas, he's trying to rally the base and get a big turnout for Republicans tomorrow. Democrats, of course, are doing the same thing. New York Senator Chuck Schumer heads the Democrat Senate campaign.
Tomorrow, the choice couldn't be more stark. Every vote cast for a Democrat on Tuesday is for a new, smarter Iraq policy. Every vote cast for Republican is staying the course.
CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says this election is a referendum on Iraq. He predicts a Democratic majority in the House and a battle to the last vote for control of the Senate.
In some of these close Senate races, we may not know until the next day. For example, in Maryland, they don't even count the absentee vote until the next day. So if that one's close, we certainly won't know. And the Senate may come down, who controls it, to how one or two races come out.
I'm Mark Knoller in Dallas. In no way does the White House even want to consider the possibility of losing control of Congress to the Democrats. Spokesman Tony Snow pushes back firmly when reporters ask how the White House would react. How many times do I have to tell you guys, said Snow, adding, you don't sit around in the middle of a campaign and say, what if we lose? Declaring that President Bush has big plans for his last 2 years in office, Snow said, and this is a quote, he's not going to play small ball. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president in Dallas.
Mr. Bush has gone to Reunion Arena for one last Republican rally. A Pacific storm brought torrential rain to Washington State today, and as that water pours down from the mountains, it's creating record or near-record floods. Lee Taylor is a spokeswoman for Mount Rainier National Park.
The water is just churning down. It's the color of chocolate milk because it's got so much mud and rock in it. You can hear the big rocks that are being carried along by the water crashing and pounding into each other.
In Lewis County, authorities say an elk hunter whose truck was swept away has been found dead. Once again in Southern California, they've brought out the aircraft and heavy equipment to battle a wildfire, this one in Rialto, about 60 miles east of Los Angeles. So far, no injuries, but the fire threatens as many as 100 homes. Police in Jackson, Michigan had little to go on last March when a 60-year-old man was found murdered in his home, the victim of an apparent robbery. But then they got a surprising break. During a party game, when people were asked to name the stupidest thing they'd ever done, Jerry Rose blurted out, "Shot a guy in the head." He's now charged with murder and armed robbery. On Wall Street today, the Dow up 119 points to 12,105. The Nasdaq gained 35 points. This is CBS News.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Does a promise come with an expiration date? Is it good for a day, a year, 30 or 50 years? At New York Life, we make promises that have no expiration date. And when we make a promise, we live by it. The promise to pay a claim, to provide for and protect a family. It is why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. Keeping our promises is why New York Life is the company you keep.
It's nice sometimes to be able to pull strings, and sometimes it's nice to pluck them. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes has the story of a very special string instrument.
It's one of the best-known musical instruments of the 60s war protest movement. Pete Seeger played that banjo for 15 years. Used to say, "This machine surrounds hate and forces it to surrender." He's donating it to the International Bluegrass Music Museum in Owensboro, Kentucky. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The museum expects the banjo to be a major attraction. It's valued in six figures. Pete Seeger is 87 now. Two police officers in New Mexico are suing Burger King, saying they definitely didn't have it their way when they stopped for a meal in Los Lunas last month. The cops say their burgers were sprinkled with marijuana, a prank they call outrageous and dangerous. No comment so far from BK. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, I care about me, myself, and I. So when it comes to my small business, I take everything personally. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need without the middlemen, the hassles, or the hard sell. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, that's why I went into business for myself in the first place.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind. Yours. Dell. Purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B., 6 minutes after the hour. And we're opening up the free speech zone because the First Amendment is still in full effect. Your calls and comments are welcome right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Want to talk about Donald Rumsfeld, Saddam Hussein's unindicted co-conspirator? Give me a call. We can also talk about Peter Cameo, California's Green Party candidate for governor, and Susie Turnbull's comments about the Democrats and election protection. Your comments are welcome. We have a caller or a call we're going to take here, and then we'll go right to your calls in about 4 minutes. So grab a line now. The switchboard is open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Also, if you've received one of those duplicitous robocalls that's actually from the Republicans, I'd like to hear from you. Tell us what the call was like. 888-573-8372. Joining us right now is James Rucker. He's co-founder of Video the Vote, and they're on the web at videothevote.org. And I know he's a colleague of Brad Friedman's, because Brad has told me about you before, James. Welcome to our program.
Thanks.
Glad to be here.
And tell us about the idea of videoing the vote, and go ahead and be as explicit as you care to. I got an email from a gentleman earlier today. He said, I got fresh tape. My batteries are charged. Tell me what I should do.
Well, that's perfect. What we're trying to do is help everyday folks around the country watchdog the elections and make sure that if there's any, and we've already seen some of it, disenfranchisement, intentional voter suppression, especially if it's something that we can capture in video, that gets captured, pushed online, and then pushed into the mainstream media as soon as possible. What we've seen in the past, in 2000, 2004, you know, a story emerges. People see the long lines. They get the understanding that things are breaking down and going wrong and that people's political voice is being crushed. But it's too late. People are focused on the horse race instead of being focused on whether or not the elections are actually happening fairly. So that's the whole point of Video the Vote. You know, we've got about 1,000 folks, a little over 1,000 folks around the country, many of them with video cameras, others in a supporting role. When problems get called in, there's a number 866 Our Vote that's run by election protection folks in D.C. They have offices in a few places, but those calls come in. We're going to be looking to see if there are patterns that are developing and go to those places where there are problems by dispatching videographers.
Mm-hmm. And what are the rules, and maybe they vary state by state, but to your knowledge, am I permitted to carry a video camera into my precinct, into the polling place, and into the booth?
In most cases, you can't, and in most cases, it would be a bad idea. You know, historically, cameras have been used actually to intimidate voters. So what we have coached these videographers on how to approach this is to stay basically away from even the entrance of the polling place, make sure they talk with folks beforehand. But when there's a problem and then people realize, oh, these folks are here to make sure the story gets told, you know, our experience at least has been people are very into it. There are some places where you could actually at least legally go into the polls with cameras, but it's a whole dicey thing which we're trying to avoid.
Okay, so number one, you don't want people to challenge the regulations, but you do want them to capture anything that obviously could support a case in the future, you know, dealing with the anomalies. And clearly what we saw in Ohio, the long lines that were caused by limited numbers of voting machines in high turnout precincts, that's the real obvious kind of thing we could capture. What are some of the less obvious kinds of issues that you'd like to see us look for?
Yeah, there are other things. There are people showing up and being eligible voters who were told they need to have a photo ID when they in fact did not. People being told they need to vote a provisional ballot and they actually do not, or being told to go to a different precinct when they shouldn't. Those kinds of stories, in some cases, it's really a matter of catching that testimonial as someone has been disenfranchised, you know, within minutes of it happening and getting that story out. So some of it's not even catching things in terms of, you know, things that are so obvious, like long lines. It's about capturing these stories and people getting a sense, you know, in several places, this voting process is not going well. Same with the voting machines. When there are testimonials of problems with voting machines, we want to capture that as quickly as possible as well.
All right, James, I know your time is tight, so tell me when you need to go, but tick off a couple of other points for our listeners about being good observers and capturing any evidence possible on videotape.
Yeah, well, absolutely. If you have a pocket camera, any kind of camera, even a camera phone, and anything seems weird, lines are longer in one area versus another, or you run into voters who've had a bad experience and they can talk to you about it, capture that. You can go to the website, videothevote.org. Also, make sure, same thing, anything strange is up, call 1-866 Our Vote, and, you know, report any problems you see there as well.
All right. And, James, I invite you to check in with us tomorrow evening. We'll be live all the way until midnight Pacific time. So if you get interesting reports, bring them our way.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's James Rucker, and I want to repeat the website, videothevote.org. And it says right here, it's a nonpartisan project, not endorsed by any candidate or political party. This is election protection on a nonpartisan basis, and I encourage you to check it out. And Art in Sacramento, this is the website I directed you to. And I know you got fresh tape and charged batteries, so you go for it. And I appreciate you checking in with us and asking the question today, what should I do in the operation of videoing the vote. Videothevote.org is the website we've been talking about. We go to your calls now in the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines available if you'd like to talk with us. You know the rules here. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And in particular, if you're critical of me for supporting Green Party candidates for Senate and governor in California, I'd love to air it out with you. Give me a call and we'll talk about it. Up first, it's Steve in Phoenix. Welcome, Steve.
Hey. I just wanted to let you know that you wanted people who got the robocalls from the Republicans to give you a call. Well, I've gotten plenty of them. In fact, I think with my last count, it was up to 22.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're a lucky guy. I've gotten a few, and I'm going to explain that in California, you can register as a Democrat, a Republican, or decline to state. So I'm a decline to state voter, which means that both parties think they can persuade me. So I've been getting a lot of robocalls. Yesterday it was Rudy Giuliani warming up my voicemail.
Well, you know what the worst part of the robocalls was for me?
What?
They were endorsing a candidate that I can't even vote for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they wanted me. They pretty much were all trying to persuade me from voting against Harry Mitchell, and he's in a different district from me.
I see.
I'm like, how does that work?
So Mitchell is the guy who's running against J.D. Hayworth.
Right.
And he's in the district next to you.
Yes.
So then these are misdialed robocalls.
Oh, yeah, from both parties.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten plenty from the Republicans. I've only received two from the Democrats.
Now, Steve, have you heard about the type of call that sounds like it's coming from a Democrat, and it is placed in a way to annoy you, either that they call repeatedly, they call late at night, and what we've been told is if you can manage, if you get one of these calls, listen to the whole thing, because they are required by law to disclose before the end of the call who paid for it. And if you get a call claiming to be for Harry Mitchell, the Democrat, and it's placed in an annoying way, and at the end of it, you listen carefully, it may say, paid for by Hayworth for Congress. So
right. I haven't gotten any of those.
If they
were very clearly Republican, and they were very clearly Democrat, and they were all during the day, and they were kind of on the same line. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't really placed to annoy me, except for a sheer amount of them.
All right, Steve. Great to have you listening. Thanks for checking in today. Next, we go to Joe in Brookings, Oregon, listening to KGOE. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, well, viva la Daniel Ortega getting elected president down in Nicaragua.
I think we're going to have to find some new freedom fighters.
Oh, well, yeah, or, you know, it's amazing. I guess the CIA couldn't come up with the money to fund his opponents to beat him.
Well, they probably did.
Well, they did back in 1990,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get rid of Daniel Ortega. But, interesting that you had Peter Camejo on, because I'll mention another race where the Democrats and the Republicans will do anything they can do to keep a minor party candidate out of the debates. Down in Florida, in the governor's debate down there, the Reform Party candidate had to fight NBC, the Democrats, and the Republicans to get into the debate. The Democrats and the Republicans were actually conspiring with each other, and the Reform Party candidate had to take it to court, and literally walked into the debate hall, and it was a debate last week on MSNBC, and he walked into the debate 3 minutes before the debate was to take place with the legal papers in his hand, and they had to let him into the debate. They're all trying to keep him out of the debate,
mm-hmm.
and they always do this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's ridiculous. Didn't Gray Davis have Peter Camejo arrested 4 years ago when he wanted to participate in a debate or something like that?
You know, I think you're right. I don't think he actually was arrested, but I think he was not permitted to enter the building.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah, like he had the police take him out of there or something. I mean, and they're always doing this, but it's amazing. In Florida, the MSNBC was promoting the debate all day on their television station. They were promoting it all day in their television ads. And when they found out that they were going to have to include the Reform Party candidate, they actually wanted, even 3 minutes before the debate took place, they wanted to cancel the the debate.
That's ridiculous. Joe, I got to run to a break. Thanks for your call from Brookings today. And if you'd like to join us in the Free Speech Zone, I'd like to hear from you. First-time callers are always welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm Vince Kohler, chair of the Monterey County Democrats. I'm calling on all local Democrats. We need you at headquarters Sunday, Monday, and Election Day. You can help us elect Democrat Ana Caballero to the Assembly and beat back a hateful smear campaign by Republican Ignacio Velasquez. Velasquez's campaign is described by the Salinas Californian as baloney. The Californian calls Velasquez an embarrassment to the Republican Party, but he spent $500,000 smearing Democrat Ana Caballero. We have volunteer positions waiting for you at headquarters to make sure that Ana Caballero and her fellow Democrats win and that Republicans learn it's the end of the road for the politics of deception and fear. Join Democrats in standing up for the values we believe in. To volunteer, come to headquarters at 12 East Gavilan Salinas or call 753-2381. That's 753-2381. And one more thing. Vote and bring a friend to the polls. Remember, to volunteer, call 753-2381. Thank you. Paid for by the Monterey County Democratic Central Committee.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
And a very pleasant good afternoon or good evening to you. Let's get you home safely, give you the very latest. While we are going to tell you about a continuing grass fire in Santa Cruz County, Highway 1 at Bonnie Dune Road, it is a grass fire burning near the roadway. The fire department is on scene, but looks like they have everything under control there, so that certainly is some good news. Monterey, really, other than that, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas, no stalls or accidents to report. We're going to give you a friendly little reminder about some road work happening in Watsonville. Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom. Caltrans will have one lane closed in each direction from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for pavement upgrades. Now, you can expect at least 15-minute delays as a result of this problem. And the support brought to you by FedEx. Brought to you by FedEx. Let your FedEx solve all your shipping needs. Overnight, ground, and even heavy stuff. Relax. It is FedEx. I'm Mike. That is traffic on KRX AM 540.
Are you ready to vote? You got your issues and your candidates all picked out? Are you registered? You know where your precinct is? Ready, steady, go vote! We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 21 minutes past the hour. And a special request, if you're in Arizona, I'd like to know if you're planning to vote for the ballot measure that will reward one lucky voter with $1 million prize.
Ready, steady, go!
888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Up next, Emily in Salinas. Thanks for holding, Emily. You're on the air now. Emily? Well, I guess she didn't hold. Sorry about that. No, this is Lisa in Eureka. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Peter. Humboldt County, what's her name? I think it's Lackey is the last name, who is the person in charge of the polling places here in Humboldt County.
I thought her name was Sinich.
I don't remember. I've got a cold, so things are just kind of popping in my brain and leaving real quickly.
All right.
Anyway, she is encouraging or asking that the precincts put up their tapes on their door at the end of the day tomorrow, after the polls close,
mm-hmm.
so people can go and write down what the results are for each candidate and proposition and so forth and so on,
mm-hmm.
and see if there's a discrepancy. Because Humboldt County's electronic voting machines have been put on the Homeland Security's national or Homeland Security's alert list for potential fraud.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just heard it on the news.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they called for, but I just heard it on the news. I was like, oh, my God.
Huh. Well, so, you know, when we see Al-Qaeda get into the voting machine business, we'll know we're in deep, deep doo-doo.
Oh, you mean they're not?
No, not so far.
Anyway, I do just want to encourage people to just get out there and vote. And if they can get out there to their precincts as polling places are closing to see if these tapes are being put up, it would be awesome. I mean, I'm really close to my precinct, so I plan on doing it.
Well, I think it's important because if the poll workers, many of whom are great, you know, citizens who give up a day for $100 or whatever it is to try to serve their communities, they want to do it right.
Exactly.
They want us to have confidence in the process.
Exactly.
And so the more of us who indicate that we know how it works and that we are active participants and vigilant participants at that, the more they are going to perform up to a standard.
Exactly.
If they think we're not looking and we're not paying attention, that's when all kinds of corner cutting and slovenly behavior can occur.
Exactly. And then as far as the phone calls are concerned,
yeah.
I hung up on most of them because in California, recorded phone calls that are not monitored by a human being are illegal. And I'm unlisted for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite one of all of them was this real honest-to-goodness live person who said he was bipartisan and wanted to know if I was voting for Schwarzenegger or Angelinas. And I said, I'm registered to Klein Estate, so therefore it's none of your business.
Well, good for you. Hey, I just have to share this with you, Lisa. I just got an email that is allegedly from the email account of Jack Abramoff.
Lovely. Well, anybody in Humboldt County who notes anything that could be potential fraud, the phone number is 709-VOTE,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good place to go if you feel that there's any fraud going on. There's quite a few websites up and around, so check them out.
Thank you, Lisa.
Have a good night.
All right. Hope you get feeling better.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call. So I guess it isn't actually from Jack himself. It's from supporters of Prop 89. And it's a clever little satirical piece, and it reads, Dear reform-minded voter, if Prop 89 becomes law, lobbyists like me will not have the power we once did. This would be a huge problem for my friends and clients. And the title, the subject line of the email reads, Thoughts on Prop 89 as I prepare for prison. Next, we go to the line, and we've got Richard in Eureka. Hello, Richard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that?
Hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
Not too bad, thank you.
I'd like to say hello to Costa Rica.
Hello, Costa Rica. We've got a listener in Costa Rica.
Yes, we do. All right. Listen, today I'd like to talk about the judges that are on the statewide ballot. I'm having a little bit of a hard time finding out much information about them.
Well, you know, Richard, Matt told me that that's what you were going to ask about. I have my voter guide here. And there's no mention of any judges that are running for retention on a statewide basis right now.
Well,
and during our day-long commercial break, I went to the Secretary of State's website, and likewise, under candidates, I can find no judicial candidates at all. So who are we talking about?
All right, well, listen, I'm looking at my sample ballot, official general election ballot for Humboldt County, California, and we've got nonpartisan judges on the ballot, vote yes or no for each office, and we've got two associate justices of the Supreme Court up for a yes or no vote.
Those would be the recent nominees.
Right.
Go ahead and name them.
Well, all right, there's Joyce L. Kennard, who I found some information about on the Secretary of State's website, and from all things I could see about her, she's great, and I'm going to vote yes for her. But the rest of them, there's very little information, and it's really hard to, you know, decide way they're going to go. All right? Some other ones if you like.
Okay, but tell me where you found this, because I've got the Secretary of State website up right now.
Okay.
And it was not listed under candidates.
I have to do this from memory, but I think it was ss.ca.gov.
Right. I'm there.
Okay. And then you have to go over, all right, they've got these little boxes. And then you have to go over, I'm doing this from memory, but you have to go to judges.
Well, that's what I haven't found. So I'm very interested in this because I think these are important things for people to know about. They're little attention is paid to them.
Absolutely. And judges are some of the most important people on the ballots. They come down on decisions that are very important.
You're right, yeah. Well, I really appreciate you pointing this out. I've got some homework to do tonight.
Peter, listen, I charge you and Brad tomorrow with giving us some information about these guys tomorrow.
All right.
How about that?
That's a deal.
All right, thanks, Peter.
I'll be there. Thank
Bye-bye.
You for the call. More of your calls coming up. Lines available in the Free Speed Zone. It's 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Tuesday night is election night. Keep an ear on your radio for the coverage you won't get on TV. Join us for a marathon election integrity special exclusively on this station. I'm Peter B. Collins. I'll be anchoring from San Francisco. My co-host Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com will anchor from Los Angeles. And we have a network of reporters and contributors nationwide, all focused on the election process and the problems we expect. Join us Tuesday night for the Election Integrity Marathon right here.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. Just one line open if you'd like to call the program at 888-5-PETER-B. And I want to tip the hat that covers my bald little head to Richard in Eureka, because he's right. There are two California Supreme Court justices up for retention votes in tomorrow's election. They are Joyce Kennard, who was appointed about a year ago, as I recall, and there is Carol Corrigan, the most recent nominee to the California Supreme Court, and she took her oath of office just in January of this year. Kennard has been on the court since 1989. She was appointed, if I'm correct, by George Duke-Majan, a Republican. She's kind of a middle-of-the-road justice. Corrigan has served, I believe, on the Court of Appeals in Oakland before she was elevated to the top court. So they are both on the ballot. And you don't get to vote for an alternate, although you could write in Peter B. Collins if you wanted to just have some fun with it. I don't really recommend that. But in these retention elections, you simply get to affirm that they should continue on the court. And I believe if less than half the voters do offer that affirmation, then the justice does not get retained. And I do not recall exactly at what point an unretained justice has to leave the bench. I would guess that it's in front of the next session in January, but I'm not positive about that. So, Richard, thank you for pointing that out. And I have to say that this one really snuck up on me, and if it snuck up on me, it probably snuck on up on just about everybody in California, and it shouldn't happen that way. John in Carmel Valley, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
There's a major article in the latest Monterey County Weekly about Leon Panetta. It's called The Radical Centrist. And you might wonder how the term radical could ever be connected with a centrist. And it can be in a kind of offbeat way. And one way to show that is that George Bush's name never pops up in this very long, quite good interview that the Weekly did with him. And what he essentially says in many pages is he's lamenting the huge deficits.
Mm-hmm.
He never says anything that much against the war because he's going to be in a group that's going to investigate it further.
He is. He's in the Baker Commission, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, he basically talks about what he thinks the Founding Fathers had in mind, which I agree with him, and that is compromise. He very ably shows how in not too distant times when he was back as a congressman, Republicans and Democrats often worked together to create legislation. What the problem is that right now George Bush is the antithesis of a centrist. He is our Oliver Cromwell, if not more extreme than that. And you cannot use centrism to deal with an Oliver Cromwell.
You make a great point, John. I have deep respect for Leon Panetta, and I really like him. He's a very nice man. I have known him since he was your congressman on the Central Coast, and he served with distinction in the House and chaired the Budget Committee, was a deficit hawk who famously took congressional leaders to Andrews Air Force Base and wouldn't let them leave. This was in the early 90s until they came up with a balanced budget proposal. And I do have that high regard, and he's a great inside player, to his credit. He helped steer the Clinton White House off the shoals wherever he could. And at the same time, I can't help thinking that often Leon Panetta is too cautious. He's too conscious of his role as an insider, too, I guess, feels the need to protect that role. And I wish he would take a few more chances, shoot from the lip just a little more often, because he's a very smart man who knows the problems of our government. And if he'd be a little less polite occasionally, I'd be there to cheer him on.
The biggest chance he ever took, and it was a one-time event apparently, was where he opted out of the Nixon administration and changed parties to becoming a conservative Democrat. He's probably one of the most consistently conservative Democrats, and he points out that his real tendencies, he was brought up and nurtured under the Thomas Kuchel, remember Kuchel? From eons back, and he mentions Hiram Johnson and, you know, progressive Republicans, an extinct species right now. And if that were all in flower right now, Leon would be just the man for that time. He's exactly not the right man now. I keep yearning for Leon to take a stand, and this article just says to me, John, that you're not going to get any water out of this well. You might any other time, but not now.
Thank you, John. Now to Bill in Phoenix. Bill, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bill, going once.
Peter?
Yes, Bill. I'm listening.
No, this is Dave Berman in Eureka.
All right, Dave. I just selected the right line and used the wrong name. Dave, welcome.
I wanted to let you know about Voter Confidence Committee poll watching activities tomorrow, and also two pretty significant changes that we've managed to get here in the election conditions for Humboldt County. Our elections manager, Lindsay McWilliams, had been saying that he was not going to instruct poll workers to post the poll tapes when the polls close. And now they will do that.
Isn't that the law?
It is the law. So it's pretty, amazing that he thought that he could get away with not doing it. But we've stood up to him, and now he's going to follow the law. So that's a good thing for transparency of our election tomorrow. And the second thing is that our registrar, Carolyn Cernich, has decided that tomorrow morning she's going to go to the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors and ask them for a little bit more money so that instead of doing the state-mandated minimum 1% manual audit, we're going to get a 10% manual audit.
I read that. I read that on the web last week, and I can't remember if it was Brad Friedman or some other election protection.
Probably We Do Not Consent.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's great, and I commend you and the other activists who have really put the pressure on to drive home the importance of confidence in the outcome of our elections. And you have framed the debate in a way that I think is a signal to others, Dave, which is that we must have confidence in our elections, and if we don't, we need to express that lack of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I think helps to make that point, make it forcefully, make it stick, make it pervasive through the community, is to engage people and get them involved. And so the Voter Confidence Committee has added some new features to our website. And if you're in Humboldt, we invite you to come to voterconfidencecommittee.org and let us know which polling place you're going to be voting at if you're able to come back at the poll closing time and monitor the closing process and grab the information off of the precinct poll tape. You put that information back into our website, and it's going to help us aggregate it all. You can also call it into our new hotline number, which is 707-709-VOTE.
Mm-hmm. Got it. All right, well, I've made notes of this, and Dave, I'm inviting you to call in tomorrow night during our Election Integrity Marathon. We're going to be on the air till midnight Pacific time. KGOE is along with KRXA and KSAC in Sacramento. They're all signed up to carry the program. We'll also be on in Anchorage, Alaska, and out in Massachusetts, all over the web, and probably some other stations will sign up to carry the broadcast between now and then. But I invite you to call in and update us on these issues, and be happy to hear from you.
Will do. Thanks, Peter.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for the call today. Now to Angel in Scottsdale. Welcome, Angel. You're on the Peter B. Show.
Well, good evening, Peter B. I wanted to say a couple things. I know you had mentioned about the Arizona voting about winning the lottery, you know?
Right. Uh-huh.
You wanted to get some response on that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mixed bag. You know, I'm a little bit of a political activist here. And half of the people are interested in that, or they think that's a good thing. Some people are laughing at it. They think it's kind of funny. But Arizona is really popping with progressives now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changing the, you know, we used to be a real a really red state.
Yeah.
But it's becoming a lot more liberal, a lot more progressive. And I wouldn't be surprised if that law did get passed.
Well, you know, I don't really object to it overall, but I have to say that it sends a message that I'm not comfortable with. And
yeah.
It's interesting because this year, I don't know if you've seen any of the TV commercials, but the AARP, American Association of Retired Persons,
yes.
They have been putting out public messages encouraging people not to vote if they're not well-informed.
Yes, I've seen those.
And I think it's interesting, and it's a message I support. Because there are a lot of people who say, oh, you know, I want motor voter, and I want same-day registration, and I want automatic registration. I want every citizen registered. Well, that creates a problem for me because I don't believe that the registration process we have now is so burdensome that it prevents, you know, well-intentioned people from planning a month ahead and saying, I think I want to vote in this election. And so when you lower the barriers, you lower the level of involvement of the average voter. And that's what I have concerns about. If all people know about before they go to the polls is the negative commercials they've seen on primetime television, God save the Republic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they also have a new law here that you have to bring two forms of ID and a picture ID to the polls or you can't vote. And you also have to vote in your precinct. You know, we have all those things going.
Well, I would like to see a stalwart who doesn't have a criminal record or even some outstanding parking tickets to challenge the ID requirement at the polls tomorrow. Because I think we need a legal case that takes this issue up to the Arizona Supreme Court. Because we have seen in relatively conservative states like Georgia and Missouri, the Supreme Courts have ruled against this requirement, saying that it's like a poll tax. It is a level of requirement that does increase the burden and barriers to participation, and therefore it's unconstitutional. And I hope that somebody in Arizona will challenge it, bring a case, and ultimately overturn that, because it is being used by Republicans to prevent certain Democrats from voting, those who don't have a driver's license. And
well,
that's true.
And you know what? They did do that. They did take it before a court. I don't know if it was the Supreme Court. And it was on hold, and it was... We were waiting to see if it was going to be enforced, but then they did bring it back right before the election.
Well, there's room for more legal process here, and I'd like to see that take place. Now, here's something fascinating. I told you that Missouri Supreme Court overturned a photo ID requirement.
Yes.
The Secretary of State of Missouri, who is a woman named Carnahan, her father was governor and died in the plane crash. A few years ago that sent her mom to the Senate for 2 years.
Okay.
Well, Ms. Carnahan went to submit her absentee ballot, and the voter, the election worker, rejected it, saying, I need a photo ID. Now, that was the wrong person to challenge.
Yeah, definitely.
There is also a case of a sitting member of Congress who went to vote, and I can't at the moment recall which state it was, and she presented her congressional ID, and it was rejected because the law requires a driver's license. And ultimately, wow. I think the congresswoman prevailed. But if games are being played at, you know, the expense of elected officials, think what it's like for the average Joe or Jill who goes in there and doesn't really know what their legal rights are, doesn't know what the Supreme Court ruling was. They're going to get jacked around.
They will.
And we...
That's why we have a lot of poll watchers this year, and we're going to be standing at the, you know, at the polls helping people to get to get in to vote.
Yeah.
And so hopefully it's going to work out better for everyone.
All right, Angel, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
888-5-PETER-B. There's room for more calls here in the Free Speech Zone, and I'd like to hear from you. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the very latest. Well, folks, a little bit of slow traffic being reported. It appears that eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Southbound 1, just a little bit of moderate traffic right now between Monterey and Carmel. Let's take a look at eastbound 129, so it's between Watsonville and Romulus. Now, there is no major stalls or accidents to report in the Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas at this point. And also, we're going to give you a little advisory as far as road work is concerned. Nighttime road work between Highway 1 and 129 and Freedom Boulevard. Caltrans shutting down a lane in each direction from 7 p.m. until 6 a.m. for pavement upgrades. You can expect at least 15-minute delays. Well, carrier Preparation H portable wipes can be little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. I'm Mike on KRXA AM 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 9 minutes away from the hour. A reminder that tomorrow at this time we'll just be gearing up for our special marathon election night election integrity broadcast. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com will co-anchor with me. He'll be in Los Angeles. I'll be here in San Francisco. We've got correspondents spread out all over the nation, and we're going to be reporting to you not just the results, but also the stuff you won't see on television about the glitches and the other problems that we expect to occur in tomorrow's national election. So you're invited to listen on KGOE 1480, 6 to midnight tomorrow. KRXA 540 in Monterey, 6 to midnight. On KPHX in Phoenix, we'll be checking in with Mike Malloy on a regular basis. And KSAC 1240 Talk City in Sacramento will pick us up after the Sharks play. There's something in that message, but I'm not sure what it is. And if you're listening online, you may wish a stream for our special election protection broadcast, and that will be available to you at various websites. Go to velvetrevolution.us. That's velvetrevolution.us, and that's where the streaming connections will be available. And lines are open if you want to join us. I got room for another caller or two. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now to Cave Creek, Arizona, where Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for your call.
Well, thanks for having me. This is it's going to be interesting tomorrow.
I think so. I'm on pins and needles, and I'm a pretty mellow guy, frankly. I don't usually get too amped up, but I woke up before my alarm went off this morning, and I just started thinking about all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, a couple of little things. First of all, I called John Kyle's office because I was very curious about how Mr. Rubber Stamp for Bush voted on the one bill that he vetoed out of 6 years of his presidency. There was only one bill.
That was the stem cell bill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And good old John Kyle, you know, I thought perhaps he might have gone against his beloved leader, like so many other Republicans did on that particular issue, seeing the wind, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He didn't. He was one of so very few senators who actually voted against it.
Yeah.
It says a lot about a person.
Yeah, people like Orrin Hatch and Arlen Specter.
Santorum
couldn't vote with the White House on that one. I think Santorum voted with the White House, though.
Yeah, no, I'm saying Rick Santorum did vote
right.
With the White House.
But Orrin Hatch and Arlen Specter, who are often reliable votes for the White House, stepped out and said, oh, no, I'm not with the president on this one.
Well, right, because there are some Republicans who aren't fundamentalist evangelicals or who don't support them necessarily in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those things. I think anybody who's got a family member with a potentially lethal illness is going to think twice about voting against such a bill.
Yeah, and you don't even have to be in that position. I mean, I think Michael J. Fox has done a great service to put aside his own privacy and modesty and go on television to support candidates who do support stem cell research. But we can all benefit. One of the things that, and by the way, I supported Prop 71 here in California, and I fully support all types, including embryonic stem cell research. And my main reason is that I think it's going to give us the keys that unlock the code of many diseases. I think it's going to help us reverse engineer the viruses and other pathologies that create either chronic diseases, debilitating conditions, or long-term and deadly conditions.
Yeah.
And the more we can understand about how the human body works and how genomics interacts to produce disease, that's going to be the way that we'll find either new pharmaceutical developments, new diagnostic approaches, or new ways of understanding the way diseases develop and ultimately kill people.
That's right. And one last.
And I would just add this: there are a lot of religious people who improperly claim that destroying an embryo is like destroying a fetus. It is not the same thing whatsoever. And I ask my deeply religious friends: when is the last time you heard of somebody holding a memorial service for a discarded embryo?
Indeed.
Nobody's ever performed the last rites on an embryo, as far as I know.
No, but there's one last thing
that
I want to mention to you, and that is, it just went right out of my head. How do you like that?
All right, Chris.
No.
Let me jump to another caller, because I'm almost out of time, but I thank you for the call today, and I appreciate your thoughtful approach. Let's go to Derek in Glendale. Thank you for holding on, Derek.
Hey, Yeah, how you doing, Peter?
Good, thank you.
Good. I was calling about $1 million.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd like to win.
Well, okay. Well, go get a scratcher or one of those lotto tickets. But why should it be related to voting?
I think it'll bring more people to vote.
Okay, and what's the quality of those votes?
I don't think it matters.
Why?
I think
it matters a lot.
I think that the people who vote will vote on the parts that matter. The parts that matter, like our governors, our senators.
But if that were the case,
why
do people
get into?
But why
they don't have the education to even understand what these propositions mean.
If that's the case, why do we induce them to come out and vote? There's a very good chance that they will cast a vote on something they don't know diddly about.
If you take the people over 60 years old over here in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
you're taking the vote of these people who have voting the same way their whole life and could care less what these propositions or what these people stand for there now. So you're looking at the same problem. If I had a choice, I would make it illegal for people over 59 or over 60 years old to be able to vote.
Oh.
Unless they took a test proving they were capable of even acknowledging what was on the ballot in front of them.
Hey, Derek.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're not the emperor.
Yeah, Lord Bush is.
Are you Irish, Derek?
Kind of. I'm Scottish.
Okay. Well, then I'll tell you this joke. Do you know why the good Lord invented Scotch whiskey?
Why?
To keep the Scots from ruling the world. Thank you, Derek. Have a good night.
All right. Go vote
tomorrow.
Thank you. Don't
vote for things that you don't know diddly about.
Happy trails to you.
And if you're a candidate, repeat after me. I will not concede until every vote is counted. This is Peter B. Join me tomorrow, same time, same stations.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush is the closer, making a final pitch for Republican votes at a rally in Dallas this evening.
Democrats believe they can spend your money better than you can. That's why they want more of it. But you didn't elect us just to be philosophers. You elected us to get things done.
A Republican ad says the House would move sharply to the left if Democrats win control and Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker. She says, is that the best they've got?
It just shows the bankruptcy of their campaigns. They have no ideas. They have nothing to brag about that they have accomplished. They've been a failure.
Tomorrow's vote is shaping up as a referendum on Iraq. What do the troops think? CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick sampled opinions.
Many soldiers here in Baghdad say they don't believe either party has all the answers.
I don't do straight ticket anymore. I do the candidate.
First Lieutenant Kevin Huey of Wanton, New York.
There's really no black and white. Everything is a shade of gray around here, and you can't just have a candidate say, well, we need to leave immediately. That's that's really not the answer anymore.
Instead, Huey was looking for a candidate with a better strategy. He says the debate is a good thing. It's what the U.S. and Iraq need right now. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Baghdad.
After 2 days of heavy rain, western Washington state faces a dangerous night.
We're looking at a lot of mudslides around, so highways are closed. You might have to look for alternate routes. And then the water levels are rising so much that we're looking at some potential flooding by tomorrow or even late tonight.
Sergeant Monica Hunter of the Washington State Patrol, there's already been one death, an elk hunter whose truck was swept away by a swollen river.
This flood was predicted as long as 2 or 3 days ago. Forecasters are warning people that we're going to have record amounts of rainfall, but nonetheless, this one still caught people by surprise.
Reporter Tim Hake of station KIRO says forecasters think this could be worse than the record floods 16 years ago. Firefighters in Southern California are on the battle lines once more. In Rialto, about 60 miles east of Los Angeles, San Bernardino County Fire Department spokesman Steve Hansen says the flames have been fueled by the wooden pallets in an industrial yard.
The fire, burned about 300 acres of grassland. And the fire now seems to be settled in this one industrial yard.
So far, no one's been hurt. The threat to about 100 homes in the area seems to have